21-year-old faces 33 counts of fraud for approving the sale of city-owned land to a female companion at below market prices. The indictment also cites the use of city credit cards for funding vacations with 8 women in the U.S. and South America. It is reported that James has turned himself in to the FBI. South Dakota's first execution in 60 years was held last night. A 25-year-old Texas man was put to death by lethal injection for the torture and murder of a 19-year-old during a home robbery. Funeral services are pending for First Lady... This is the Quality News Network. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair arrived in Jerusalem today, his first visit as an envoy to the Middle East. His mission is to stimulate peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians. In Afghanistan, authorities are negotiating for the return of 23 South Koreans and one German taken hostage last week by the Taliban. The militants demand freedom for the same number of Taliban prisoners. They also insist German and South Korean troops pull out of the country. Top-level meetings begin tomorrow between Iran and the U.S. to discuss the declining security situation in Iraq. It will be the second such diplomatic summit between the two countries in nearly 30 years. In Baghdad, a U.S. soldier was killed Saturday by a roadside bomb. The Pentagon says 54 American troops have been killed in July. Also in Baghdad today, 4 car bombs killed at least 16 people, wounding another 40. Hundreds of thousands of U.S. war veterans have filed a class-action lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The group is accusing the VA of denying them disability pay and health services. The VA is obligated to provide health care for the injured for at least 2 years following discharge. Following re-election by a significant margin yesterday, Turkey's prime minister vowed to battle Kurd separatists and continued to lobby for acceptance into the EU. During the campaign, the Muslim-based ruling party vowed to maintain Turkey's secular laws and culture. India elected its first woman president Saturday. 72-year-old Pratibha Patil is expected to work to improve the plight of Indian women. Fierce storms today continue to pummel China, generating floods and landslides. More than 400 people have died since the rainy season began 2 months ago. A large wildfire continues to burn in central Utah today. Several small towns have been evacuated as firefighters continue to battle the flames, a job made harder by today's wind gusts, some as fast as 50 miles per hour. The fire is 15% contained. The Washington Post reports the Federal Agriculture Department distributed more than $1 billion in subsidies to deceased farmers over a 7-year period. In New Haven, Connecticut, illegal immigrants tomorrow will begin receiving ID cards permitting them to make use of the city's programs and open bank accounts. It is the first law of its kind in the U.S. Tonight, CNN and website YouTube host the first-of-its-kind presidential debate. Questions to 8 Democratic candidates will be posed online. This is the Quality News Network.
What are you doing?
Fertilizing the lawn. Do you want to help?
No, not really. But didn't you just do that last week?
Yeah, I did. I want the lawn to be really lush and green this year.
Dad, what happens when those sprinklers come on?
We give the grass a good long drink.
That water runs off with the fertilizer in it and gets into the bay, where it can harm the fish.
So what should I do?
Use just the minimum recommended amount. The lawn will be just as green, and you'll be saving our ocean.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
More than 5,000 delegates from 130 countries meet in Australia today for the world's largest conference on HIV and AIDS. On the agenda, studies indicating circumcision in heterosexual men may reduce infection by as much as 60%. The Associated Press reports a tightening of immigration restrictions is contributing to the lack of physicians in America's rural areas. The AMA says there is a 16,000 doctor shortfall in poor and remote regions, a number that is expected to increase significantly. Hewlett-Packard announced it will acquire data center manager Opsware for about $1.6 billion. Opsware's founder also developed internet browser Netscape. Starting tomorrow, federal minimum wage will increase 70 cents to become $5.85 an hour. The Labor Department estimates about 1.7 million American employees made minimum wage or less last year. A Canadian court has ordered Time magazine to pay for Quebec consumers more than $96,000 for sweepstakes schemes designed to raise subscription numbers. The judge said the direct mail promotions were misleading. The nation's largest bank, Citigroup, has posted an 18% increase in quarterly profit on a net income of $6.23 billion. Citigroup credited overseas businesses. Light sweet crude is trading at $74.89 a barrel. Net Wall Street is now closed. The Dow was up 92. NASDAQ was up 3. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six past the hour, and we're off and running on yet another week of high-quality conversation radio. Between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, God knows what time, where you are. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm thrilled to pieces to be with you. The debate starts in a little less than an hour. I don't know. Maybe later in the program we'll check in and just see how it's going for the Democratic candidates. We'll just sneak in. You know how it is, you know, at the movie theater when you were a kid, you'd go in to see, The Dinosaurs Land Before Time rated, you know, less than G, and then you'd sneak out and peep through the doors at the R-rated nastiness going on next door in the Octoplex.
Did you do that?
We'll peep through the windows, maybe at CNN later in the program, but coming up in the top of the next hour, the second hour of the program, we have for you a conversation. New film out, new documentary film out by the name of 9/11 Ripple Effect, The Definitive Proof. Dave Von Kleist, one of the producers of that film, will be joining us. And I'm sure he'll tell you lots of interesting things about 9/11. But before we do any of that, I don't know where to start. These things happen to me. I sit and I go over stories all day long. I'm going to start with that, and I'm going to start with that, and I'm going to start with that. And then everything changes. Well, I don't know. I've got, as usual, a million things this evening. And, I don't know. You know how I am. Cranky, curmudgeon-y. I think we'll start this evening with something I barely touched on Friday evening. And I guess because a weekend went by, it's not news anymore, but it still rankles with me pretty badly. And that is, to wit, the issue of the FEMA trailers. Really, seriously, the nature of the news cycle is such that 2 days pass and, you know, it's supposed to all be forgotten. And I don't know, as the show evolves over time, and it has to evolve, it can't be static. If it gets static, it gets dead. But as the show evolves, I find that maybe a part of what I do here, what Agnes and I do here, what we all do together, in crafting this conversation, this dialogue, is to try to keep a little bit of a light, just a little bit of light, on stories that deserve to have light continue upon them. And I think the FEMA trailer story is probably is as good an example of one of those stories as any I've seen lately. It's right up there, frankly, with the scooter com. We have definitive proof now, you see, that FEMA, and backing up a little bit of history is worth remembering, after the disastrous response to Hurricane Andrew under the first Bush administration, I don't mean the first W, I mean the bailout Bush, his daddy, after his response to Andrew, when Bill Clinton took office, one of the first things that he did was to elevate FEMA to a cabinet-level position, so that natural disaster and emergency response could have the direct input of the chief executive and the brain trust that surrounds him. Now, fast forward to January 2001, and one of the first things that George Bush does is to take the FEMA director back out of the cabinet. Because after all, natural disasters tend to disproportionately affect the poor, the needy, the weak, the weary, and the wounded. And being a Republican and being a Bush, he doesn't give a rat's ass about the weak, the weary, and the wounded. And no, we're not going to play the soundbite of Barbara Bush talking about her beautiful, rotting, filthy, beastly mind, because this is where you play that. So FEMA goes out of the cabinet and is staffed with people who have about as much experience dealing with natural disaster as hogs do coordinating the singing in church on Sunday. And then you get Katrina. Lord, 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 you get Katrina. The anniversary's coming in about a little over a month now. And during that time, the intervening years since Katrina, it will be years in late August, years, and you still got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people living in little travel trailers. And we find out from this article in the Washington Post this past Friday that those FEMA trailers are toxic, carcinogenically toxic, sufficient to make people very, very ill. And it is, did you read this? Washington Post, it's over there. You can probably still scrounge it up. The toxicity comes from formaldehyde. And formaldehyde, unless you are a deer about to be mounted on some redneck's wall, is not good for you. It will make you very, very sick. People began getting sick. FEMA was alerted to the fact that people were getting very, very sick. FEMA tested. And found out that people were, in fact,
getting very, very sick. Among others, from Media Reports, that's the name of the website, article by Brandon Parker. When Lindsay Huckabee returned to her government trailer one night last year, she found her four-year-old daughter holding her nose to staunch the stream of blood pouring onto her hands, arms, and shirt. Had it happened before Hurricane Katrina swallowed her Paz Cristian apartment, Huckabee would have rushed her daughter Leela to the emergency room, but after the family of six was moved into their government-issued trailer in Kiln, Mississippi, the headaches, nosebleeds, sinus infections, and burning eyes occurred so frequently that Huckabee could do little for her children, but weep in despair. You see, at the heart and soul, the very dead bullseye center of this FEMA trailer story are individuals that we frequently find at the center of stories of Bush administration screw-ups. The lawyers. The loyal Bushy lawyers. The freshly scrubbed, glowing, childlike, Simon Pure, Simon Simple lawyers of Pat Robertson University and Jerry Falwell, Draw the Christian Martyr from the Matchbook School of Law lawyers. And they may be Simon Simple, and they may be Simon Pure in their outward appearance, but they are deadly and dangerous and mendacious in their day-to-day work. Because the, among other things, we know that the lawyers, it was the lawyers who made a determination that even though they knew that people were being sickened by the fumes inside these trailers, that they would do nothing about it. It even went so far as to suggest that they didn't want to test again because they knew what they would find and they didn't want it verified. This is sickening business. This is just sickening business. The funny part of it is that they resisted testing the air in the trailers until the article came out from the Washington Post on Friday, and then bang, in the Mississippi Clarion Ledger, that paragon of journalism, you get this. Federal officials will begin testing air quality conditions Tuesday in trailers housing Hurricane Katrina victims. Lawmakers last week accused FEMA of covering up health hazards posed by formaldehyde in thousands of travel trailers. For months, residents have complained of burning eyes, respiratory ailments, bloody noses, and other ailments. FEMA Administrator David Paulson said the agency should have done more to address the complaints. Elevated levels of formaldehyde cause headaches, burning eyes and throats, nausea, and difficulty breathing. It's also a suspected cancer-causing agent. Just this past Saturday, FEMA trailer residents began receiving fact sheets with information about formaldehyde, its possible effects, and phone numbers for assistance. Paulison said, and this is one of those, you know, I hope you haven't had dinner yet sort of quotes, "I was troubled to learn that some FEMA employees may not have acted with the speed and sensitivity I expect in addressing the concerns raised by some victims of Hurricane Katrina and Rita. I will deal with these issues swiftly. FEMA's first priority is the health and welfare of disaster victims we serve. Anything less is totally unacceptable. Resign, USOB. Just resign. If enough of you resign, eventually we'll get our way through the list of loyal Bushies until we find somebody who's actually competent to run the agency. There have been, in fact, congressional hearings on this. That's part of the reason for the Washington Post story. It's not like they just go out and find news. They're the Washington Post. The news comes to them. If Mohammed cannot come to the mountain will come to Mohammed. That's the way the Washington Post, you know, mainstream newspaper media thinks of itself. We don't have to go out and get news. It's the news's job to come to us. Don't they know we're the damn newspaper? Another interesting interesting note with regard to all of this, ABC News reports that FEMA... FEMA won't stop selling the surplus trailers despite the fact that they're formaldehyde poisoned. They'll keep selling and donating surplus disaster relief trailers despite concerns from environmental groups and the start of testing to determine whether the trailers have unhealthy levels of formaldehyde. You know, okay, anybody, you know, they sell a lot of mobile homes in West Virginia. And part and parcel of that is that, you know, you go in, you look them over, you see what they're like. And even sitting on the lot, you walk in, and your eyes begin to tear and burn. Formaldehyde is used in the processing of the components, like the, I guess, the particle board and the fiber board. And the stuff that's, used in wood treatment. And it has to be thoroughly aired out, or it will make you sick as a dog. And no matter, FEMA's going to continue to sell surplus trailers to... you hope that... If journalism does its job at all, you hope that it does a little bit of its job in this regard, in letting folks know that they're dealing with potentially toxic situations. Because, after all, we live in a toxic country. We live in a toxic country where the peanut butter can be poisonous. Where you can literally die of the dribbling poops after a nice spinach salad. Where within 36 hours of your last chili dog, your lungs can begin to paralyze. We live in a toxic society where autism is higher than in any other normally statistically expectable population because of the amount of mercury, in part, the amount of mercury that goes into the bodies of women of childbearing years. FEMA drew the ire of Congress last week, ABC News says, after documents revealed that the agency's lawyers discouraged investigating reports that the trailers had high formaldehyde levels. Formaldehyde, a common preservative and embalming fluid, yada, yada, yada. This is the problem with being a lawyer. They'll pay you a lot of money, but in return for all that money, you have to do really evil stuff. Like not testing the trailers where you're making your fellow Americans sick. And you go home and you say, honey, I made a big old pot of money again today because I are a lawyer for the government. Well, that's nice, dear. Shall we go to dinner? Yes, Lou, do let's go to dinner. And you get up the next morning and you go and you see another report cross your desk that says, more toxic chemicals found in FEMA trailers, and you write a little note on it back to whoever it came from. You say, for the love of Christ, don't test it. Somebody might sue. Now, I know how the right wing will play this story. They'll say that, you know, had the lawyer, and for all I know, they already have, they'll say that the lawyers had to do that because we live, my friends, in a litigious victim culture. Everybody's looking for someone to sue.
If it weren't for the fact that he was afraid his agency would have been sued, I'm sure that Republican FEMA lawyer straight out of the Jerry Falwell draw the saints and evangelists on the back of the matchbook law school would have acted promptly to begin ameliorating those problems, my friends. But they were going to be sued, so he...
It's the federal government. It goes under the Federal Tort Claims Act, and trying to sue under that is a living hell. But that's how the right wing will spin it, that the reason that the victims living in these toxic trailers couldn't get any help is that they were going to sue the government. So they were, yeah. In the long run, though, it works out nicely for a Republican because the poor, suffering people just get to be poorer and suffer more because that's what poor, suffering people deserve is poverty and suffering. Son of a gun, I hate him. But yeah, this is life in toxic America. Of course, maybe we could find Barbara Bush to say, actually, they're doing quite well. Or maybe we could find her son and drag him out long enough to say that, well, you know, if they sue, it'll be obvious that they've won life's lottery. I guess the drugs have worn off for George since his colonoscopy. You know, they found 5 polyps in his colon. But the fact of the matter is, as our good friend Eugene Finnerman noted over at FinnermanWorks.com and Your RDA of Irony, they couldn't find anything nearly as malignant as Cheney. Oof. So we'll take a break. That's where we begin. Toxic America. Toxic America. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Horn. Jump right in. Got a little time to talk before the interview at the top of the hour. 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. When I've known this all along, I go around a time or two just to waste my time with you.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing. I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, Joe Vecchio, the working man's thinking man. Moving to 11 a.m. to noon, June 18th, right here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Your life is my Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
Alrighty then, 29 minutes before the hour, we're going to go straight to the phones. But first, I do, you get to be ahead of the curve when you hang out in with the Horn. I think it was Friday's program, the very beginning, where I just off the top of my head quipped in regard to Bush's colonoscopy that, in fact, it afforded a doctor the first view ever of George Bush's brain. Okay, I don't know. I have no way of knowing who all's listening. And listen, you know, you're free to lift stuff. It's cool by me. It's okay. So internet. Oh, what do they call themselves? The Internet Weekly has a comment. Doctors on, and this is from Saturday after I did the little one liner on Friday. Doctors on Saturday removed what they thought was a small polyp during a routine colonoscopy, but to their surprise, the polyp really turned out to be the frontal lobe of Bush's brain. You were a good 24 hours ahead of the curve, the comic curve, if you were listening to this program on Friday. To the phones. Kate is calling from Arizona. Hey, Kate, welcome to the program.
Speaking of ahead of the curve, I wanted to jump in with my FEMA rant before anybody else got, before you started off in some other direction. And I am so tired of hearing about the president-elect's rectum. Oh, God, Paris yeah. Hilton was so much more interesting, and I don't even have a TV. Anyway, lest anybody, any of the listeners, think that you're just off on some Kincaid rant, yada, yada, blah, blah, there he goes again. Most of the stories that you're reading and most of your opinions and stuff are so short of what's really going on. I mean, it's dramatic enough to hear the reports and to, you know, and the opinions and everything, but that's just like the tip of the iceberg. It is so much bigger. I went, and when you were mentioning the kid that was bleeding over in Pastor Christiane, mm-hmm. that reminded me of, I went back up a little bit. I went down to volunteer in, oh God, was it January? When your dad died in February or March?
Yeah,
I went down there in January, and I'm hooking that in because that you were interviewing some people at the volunteer center where I was a supervisor, and that's how I got hooked up with Head On, and that's my time frame there. I was down there for a little over 3 months, and in order for anybody to get services, they had to have a case manager, so people couldn't just, you know, it kind of kept things going in the right direction. And when we do these little intakes to assess their needs and what, you know, what we can do and when we can get it done and that sort of thing, frequently people would be sitting in the interview just bleeding from the nose and ears. And,
oh.
Yeah, and the trailers, I happen to be environmentally sensitive, so from the abuse I've done to my body from hard hat jobs over the years, and so I can't even stand in a record, CD, movie store, you know, with the formaldehyde and the toxic fumes from the vinyl and stuff, the poly stuff. So when I would go into one of those trailers, I would just, oh, God, it was awful. And actually, I could stand the black mold that I lived in my little condemned room. I could stand the black mold better than I could stand the formaldehyde in the trailers, and they, you know, they were just awful.
Well, in a way, the black mold is at least organic.
Which
means the body has a better chance of dealing with it.
Yeah. Sarge happened to be, I wanted to drop a website on you, too. Sarge happened to be interviewing Ella Kleiger. She's an independent filmmaker down there, and she's still there making films. And I called in yesterday on KPHX and talked to her, and I said, in closing, I said, oh, Ella, I finally got rid of my black mold cough. And she said, oh, good, come and get another one. So, I mean, yeah, it is organic, and it kind of does go away, sort of, but not, you know, it's not as bad as black lung, but it was awful. But people are so ill. They are so ill, and I just heard at the top of the hour that the doctors in the rural doctors are falling off like 600% or something. Ella reported that the hospitals were coming in. The incidence of boils and rashes is up 600%.
Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rashes along on the abdomen and arms and chest areas, and the coughing is just awful. I mean, people and you walk into the grocery store. When I first got there, I thought I was just having an overactive imagination until I started looking closer. And people have this blank look on their face, and their shoulders are slumped, and they're just blank. They're just blank. You know, until you engage them in conversation, and they go, "Oh, yeah, hi, yeah, who do?" But when they don't think they're being observed, and they're not engaged in any kind of interaction with somebody, they're just not there. And the children are getting worse in that regard. I heard Jim Yancey talk about that the other night, that he didn't even notice the children until somebody brought it up to him, and he's there in it all day long, every day, all night, and, you know. So, and that was another thing I wanted to mention. Would you please, you have contact information for Jim. Can we please get him back on the air?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I can give you all that information. I can email you all that information and whoever he would want to have on with him, so he doesn't have to carry the whole hour. Of course, Jim could talk for 2 or 3 hours, but
sure.
Shoot
me the information, please, Kate,
okay.
And we will get Jim on to talk about this post haste, because again, the news stories, you're right. You're absolutely right. They only skim the surface.
Mm-hmm.
The one child that was described in the one article is one out of how many thousands?
Is
happening to?
Yeah, I wouldn't even, and if this was a new incident, that means the bleeding is starting all over again, because this started at the beginning of the storm. Things have washed in, toxic chemicals and stuff from the water and from the pollution from the petrochemical areas around there. They're having to deal with toxins that they don't even have any idea what they are, and they're causing symptoms that people don't have a clue how to deal with. Some of the people are getting staph infection. That was the other thing Ella mentioned, was the staph infection is way, way up, and it's the kind that is resistant to antibiotics.
The flesh-eating stuff?
Mm-hmm, and typically fatal.
Jesus.
So the big, I guess, I'd been there just long enough to, that whoever you were mimicking that his, our main concern, I got in an argument with that guy, I mean, who, you know, that his ilk, and I just had to walk out because the fellow was there from the governor's office, and I turned around and said, I'm getting out of this freaking room because I'm going to get busted. I cannot even talk to this boy. I said, well, there is a way to get the money. We have it in place. I've got a file drawer full of people who have applied for the loan. Well, we'll get to that. It's going to be a long meeting. We'll touch on that. And I thought, screw you, white boy, I'm leaving. So
it doesn't need to be touched on. It needs to be landed on and squatted on and stayed with.
And that's why I go there, because now it's starting to come up. People are starting to say it aloud. This is genocide. And when I got there, I said, God damn, this is genocide. People, you know, they just want your black ass out of here and get back to Chicago.
Kanye West was right.
Huh?
Kanye West was right.
Oh, hell.
George Bush don't care about no black people.
They're just letting the poorer neighborhoods melt and run back into the bayou, and that's just... Well, I see that as a challenge. I go down there and I help the sister put down the tile, and I teach them how to hang a board of sheetrock and, you know, let's tape mud this. They said, well, I can't do that. I said, your acrylics fall off. I'll help you put them back on. Don't worry about it. So I'm going down this time to help women learn how to do their own work instead of waiting on all the boys to come and do it, because that, you know, people were just helpless. We didn't have any volunteers who were skilled enough to do the work, and it's still been the same. But there is, on Ella's website, it's Real Relief, R-E-E-L, relief.com.
Okay.
And she's got some she writes and she blogs every once in a while, like quite often now, and she's got some pictures, and her brother's a musician, and he wrote the music for her video that she's making. And I just wanted to share that when you read that, you people would know that's why I keep going back, because it's just wonderful. There's hope. We make little bitty, if we can just get the woman's door widened so she can get her wheelchair in through the door. Oh, my God, you know, it's wonderful, you know. And people kept, this is the other thing I want to tag on here. I'm talking fast so other people can call in.
Take all the time you want, Kate.
Don't tell me that. You know better. I wanted people to read that because we can make such a difference in, without even knowing it. People would say to me, oh, honey, we are so glad you volunteers to be down here. Without you volunteers, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't get nothing done. We're so grateful you're here. Thank you for all you do. Black mold cough, excuse me.
Okay.
And I would have this look of, what? What are you talking about? Thank me? No, where else would I be, you know? No, you could. I got more out of that 3 months than it was, like, one of the spiritual high points in the last maybe decade of my life or more, you know. And what I wanted to say is that if anybody wants to go help, you don't have to be professional Habitat for Humanity, those people. You don't have to be Presbyterian Disaster Relief, you know, all those big PDR people that wear their blue shirts, and, you know, it don't got to be nothing fancy. You don't have to be religious affiliated.
We'll sweat for food.
Pardon me?
We'll sweat for food.
Yeah, right. Oh, honey, I've been fed some food. Oh, God almighty.
Well, precisely. But, I mean, this is what's needed down there, and I think, if I understand where you're going, Kate, people willing to do the sweat work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People willing to learn how to do things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about hanging sheetrock. I've done it a couple of times. I'm not fond of it.
Oh, I teach you how.
But there is, that's the thing. There's a way to do it where it'll stay up and it won't bow and you won't get little waves in it.
And
then there's the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that has to be taught.
And if you're doing it the right way, if the job's too hard, you're not using a big enough tool. So there's a way to do things that don't hurt. I mean, typically boys do all the sheetrocking. How hard can that be, right? Never. I'm sorry. I'm getting off.
Not like it takes brains or nothing. Strong back, weak mind, willing to do stuff.
I think that's what I just said, but I maybe wasn't as kind as you are. Anyway, if anybody just wants to go down there, to go anywhere. I mean, once you hear Jim talking, you'll find out that there's lots of places. There's a lot of volunteer centers. You could take a mobile home or your RV or pick up with a camper on it like I've got. Just go. I take my little truck and go park anywhere, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to be, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to be doing, or any. I don't know anything this year. But people can just go and park wherever, and you check in with, you know, go on the web page and find out, and Jim will give you information about who to contact. Just go down for four. You guys are way closer than me. I'm like 2,000 miles away, but you just go down.
And Jim's website is jccsc.org.
Right, right.
Jackson County Community Services Coalition.
Service Coalition, right. People can go down for 4 days. They can go down for a week. You can go down for a month. Do what you want to do. If you don't like what you're doing, ask for something else. Go find another home to work in. You know, just and it's so rewarding. It's just so rewarding. And everybody I've ever talked to, when they get there, they'd be there 48 hours, and they'd say, I had no idea it was this bad.
And this is, you know, it'll be, what, 2 years?
Two years
at
on the 29th.
Yeah, on the 29th of August, it'll be 2 years, and we still have how many hundreds of thousands of people in trailers?
Jim can give you that statistic.
Right, but it's still in six digits. You know, there's no way that you can that any member of the Bush administration or any of these little Republican thugs can. Yeah, we're doing the best that we can.
No,
they're not.
No,
they are doing the least that they can.
And the money, the phase two money, they were giving out the big grants, and if you didn't get wind damage, or if you got wind damage and not water, or something, you had a big argument about, the insurance companies wouldn't pay, because it was, one guy said, no ma'am, I know that I got wind damage, because I was hanging in the tree when I watched my house blow away. Okay, so the only way you could really get paid was if you were witness to the fact that, yes, the house did get hurricaned, it didn't get flooded.
Right.
Those are just silly. I mean, the humor got to be real, real, real dark by the time we, you know.
I know, because we have focused from time to time with rather intense gravity on the suffering of people in the area, and that is where the focus must remain, Kate. But for my own mind, I really can't get my head around how you go through life being one of these bureaucratic functionaries, be it a lawyer or a low-level FEMA clerk who has just been directed, and you're doing your loyal Bushy best to just ignore it and hope it all goes away, you know, wait for them all to die off. There's a, you know, whether you want to use a term like karma or whatever.
I don't know.
How do people get through their lives?
Actually, I met a woman who was wearing her little blue FEMA shirt in a meeting one night, a little 12-step meeting that we were at. And after the meeting, I walked up to her and I said, "Dang, girl, you got a lot of ovaries wearing that shirt in public." And she said, "I know, shit, I forgot." She said, "I'm embarrassed because I'm supposed to meet everybody on my list for the day, and I've got 14 people, and one woman needs an hour and a half just to sit and cry." And that's another thing I found, it was more valuable than to hang sheetrock, was to just sit and listen to some woman cry and talk and tell her story. And I'd hear this more often than not. "Ma, this is the first time I've ever talked about this." Well, how important is that, you know? It's much more important than putting sheetrock on her studs, you know?
And yeah, so, because you get if your soul has been destroyed, then there's nobody to put inside the house with the new sheetrock.
That's right. That's right. And so a lot of what I did was just carrying light and shining on people and making them laugh and telling jokes on myself about how hard it is for me to understand Mississippi. First time out, I drove through drive-through to Popeyes, and I couldn't understand what the lady was asking me, and all I wanted was two pieces and a biscuit. And she said, "Spice mouth," and I said, "Excuse me," and I repeated my order, and she said, "Spice mouth," and I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't understand what you're saying." Third time, you could hear her rolling her eyes, "Spicy or mild?" And I said, so when I tell that story, I'd be going, "I can't understand. I don't even know. Man, if I'd have just stuck at the kernel, I understand crispy original. I don't understand spice mild. It's going to take me a long time. I'm going to starve to death down here if I don't learn Mississippi."
I don't speak no Mississippi.
Well, I do now, honey.
I can understand
just about anybody.
And you know the answer is spicy.
No, I didn't say that because I wasn't sure what it was going to be. spicy are we talking? Anyway, I would encourage anybody who's listening that this, if you're having if you're in transition in your life, or you're thinking, well, what should I do next, or what would make me feel good, or whatever, take Christmas vacation, take a day off, take a weekend off, whatever. Get your butt to Jackson County, and just, go down there and help somebody, and it's life-changing, I'm telling you. And don't worry about getting sick. We didn't all get sick. And you can drink the water. Pascagoula, Mississippi has the best water on the Gulf Coast because they have a brand-new reverse osmosis water plant. It's the cleanest water it's cleaner. The water tested out of the bottles at Walmart for a year. This woman told me her parents did that. They tested the water for Pascagoula out of the new plant, and the water from Walmart, and Walmart came in about 200% higher in particles than the Pascagoula water did. So you can drink the water, you can eat the food, you can understand, you get an interpreter if you don't understand Mississippi. You just come down and help, because you can do administrative office work. My friend said, "Well, my mama can't do that stuff anymore." And I said, "Girl, I got so much filing. She could sit on her butt here in the office and drink coffee all day and just file. You can do anything. there's something to do for everybody. So that's kind of my rant. The little girl, if the little girl was bleeding in Pascha's Jan or Kiln, it's starting all over again, and it's getting worse, and people are dropping dead faster than they should have.
But not fast enough to suit the loyal Bushies.
That's a true story, and that's why I go, because I think, oh man, this is such a challenge. I just want to stick it in somebody's ear. This sister girlfriend's going to get back in her house, brother man, and you ain't going to even like it. And you're going to hear from me every time I come in your office. You're going to hear from me one more time about picking up the garbage on the street. You know, so I just I'm kind of a counterinsurgent, and I just kind of like to go stick it to them and just cause a little mess, and they don't even know who's doing it, and they don't know what to do with me, you know? What's he going to fire me?
Oh, God love you, Kate.
Well, I've talked way too long. So anyway, y'all have a good evening, and I'm going to go back on...
You know, you say that y'all with real authority.
I did. I'm sorry. I sort of get carried away. I forget where I'm at and who I'm talking to. Well, at least...
Y'all take care now, you hear?
You betcha, honey. Ciao for now.
See you,
bye-bye.
Kate. Bye.
Bye.
And on to our good friend Susan in Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How's it going?
I'm kind of wondering how long it'll be before dear Mad King George... uses his executive order to freeze the assets of Jim Yancey's organization.
I know. I don't know what the purpose of that executive order is.
Oh, I do.
But no, we suspect. We don't know. We suspect. Remember, there's a difference between suspecting and knowing.
Well, let me put it this way. If I close my eyes and hold a hammer out and let go of it, I don't need to see it drop to know it's going to hit the ground.
Okay.
George Bush is just about as inevitable as gravity.
And so this is going, and speaking of dropping hammers, the hammer is going to drop on everybody that that opposes him, that opposes his perpetual war for perpetual peace.
Exactly.
And this is going to be used inside the United States to try to bring dissent and countervailing opinion to a halt.
Exactly. And I agree with what Kate said. It is genocide, and not content with the chemical route that he's going with. I agree, it's not very fast. The levees are leaking.
They're leaking?
All it's going to take is one really good hurricane, which is inevitable, and wham, here we go again.
Yeah, and the question is, do we get to dodge the bullet 2 years in a row? And how much nervous are we when there's still 100,000 people in trailers this time next year?
Yeah, and those trailers, oh, Lord, I don't want to even think of her game with those trailers. I went through a hurricane once, and what it did to her, to trailers, is a sin and a crying shame. So, I agree with Kate, it is genocide.
Well, it is. And the thing is, I guess from a semantic standpoint, Susan, that raises the question of whether one may commit negligent genocide, or then the question is it negligent or is it intentional?
Yeah.
Now,
really,
I think I know if you polled the audience to this program, the answer would be about probably close to 100% that this is an intentional act. But, you know, there's a difference between lining people up by trenches and machine gunning them or just ignoring them to death.
Right. I did want to mention one other thing. I don't know how many people read it, but there is a report that Conyers has said that if he gets three more people on board with 333, he impeaches.
Or begins the proceedings, therefore.
He begins the proceedings.
Three more?
Three. That's all it's going to take, and he starts the wheels.
Well, I don't know where those three are, but my letter is going out today.
Well, I've been screaming at my congressman. By the way, anybody in the 2nd District, congressional district in Oregon, wanted a qualified progressive candidate to run against Congressman David Wu, who is apparently too scared to get off his rear end and get on board with that bill.
I thought Wu was a pretty decent Joe.
That's what I thought, too, but apparently he's too chicken to get on board with that bill.
Well, that's you've nailed the issue smack dab on the head, Susan. We don't need a third-party candidate. We don't need somebody to in November. We need candidates in the primaries running as Democrats because these are Democratic issues.
Exactly, and that's what I'm after. I'm after somebody to go after his seat on the Democratic primary. And I've already informed Nancy's office. Nancy, guess what? I'm sending money to Cindy Sheehan.
Well, my issue with Cindy is that she insists on running as an independent.
Well, she's running.
I mean, I'm pro Cindy all the way. I understand why she's doing it, but from a political standpoint, these things need to happen in the primary because Nancy Pelosi knows that she will win in November. The only place where she has any level of uncertainty is what might happen in a primary because the primary voter pool is smaller. The crossover vote, I don't know about California, the issue of a crossover vote is reduced, and therefore you have a greater chance of affecting the outcome in a primary.
I agree.
So, you know, that's my only beef with Cindy Sheehan.
I've also this is another thing people can do. Call Dean's office and tell them, guys, you're not getting another dime until impeachment is put back on the table. And that's what I did. Democratic Party is not getting a dime from me until impeachment is put on the table.
Well, put it on the table, and we get it on the plate, and get the knives and forks out for it.
Well, all they have to do is put it on the table. You know what's going to happen afterwards. It's going to be Katie bar the door.
Well, I'm ready for that.
Because Conyers and Waxman, they're practically frothing at the mouth.
Well, I'm glad to see it because, you know, for a while there, it looked like Conyers had gone in the other direction. I'm glad to see him coming back around. Yeah. Yeah, but now
apparently he's had enough, and he's saying, give me three more people, and I'll go. Nancy or no.
Well, bless his soul. Hey, Susan, we got to roll on. We're at the top.
Okay, you have a nice night.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Maybe we need at some point to have a little more extended discussion about this primary issue, but I should think it would be fairly clear by now. Progressives who want to change the party have to put candidates in primaries because that's how you build the name recognition inside a political structure. Get out there and get willing to be part of the fight. I don't know how it could be any more simple. This is also RANs and third parties and, you know, Greens and so forth. You know, I know a lot of people are ideologically drawn to them, but the fact of the matter is most everything that the Greens are advocating has and most of the third parties that progressives would be interested in have at one time or another been a part of Democratic Party politics. They were driven out of Democratic Party politics by corporatists, corporate interests, money interests. I mean, there it was just yesterday in the Beckley newspaper, an article where my own congressman still won't let go of this antiquated Nazi notion of turning coal into liquids and flying Air Force planes on liquid. You know, I mean, jet fuel's kerosene for all intents and purposes. Flying jets on kerosene made out of coal. ugh, just ugh, you know, ugh. So, you know, we've got to change those attitudes, and we've got to participate in the party. I don't believe in walking away from it and pulling a Nader and saying, "Well, they're all the same." Well, no, Al Gore was not the same as George Bush, Ralph. And I think we all know that now, and we know how wrong you were, brother. So we're going to do the top of the hour news. Coming up, a conversation with Dave Von Kleist. 9/11, the ripple effect, after the top of the hour news. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, authorities are negotiating for the return of 23 South Koreans and a German taken hostage last week by the Taliban. The militants demand freedom for the same number of Taliban prisoners and also call for German and South Korean troops to pull out of the country. In eastern Afghanistan, 4 American soldiers died from a roadside bomb blast. 2 NATO soldiers died in other violence. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair arrived in Jerusalem, his first visit as an envoy to the Middle East. His mission is to revitalize peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians. Top-level meetings begin tomorrow between Iran and the U.S. to discuss the declining security situation in Iraq. It'll be only the second such diplomatic summit between the two countries in nearly 30 years. In Baghdad, a U.S. soldier was killed Saturday by a roadside bomb. The Pentagon says 54 American troops have been killed in July. Northeast of Baghdad, a blockade of a small town continues for a third day, and residents say they're running out of food. Coalition forces created the blockade to trap Shiite gunmen. The community is known to be a Mehdi army stronghold loyal to the radical cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Iraq war veterans filed a class action lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, accusing it of failing injured vets on several fronts. The suit alleges the VA isn't providing prompt disability benefits, nor is it providing promised timely care, even calling post-traumatic stress disorder a pre-existing personality disorder so that it would avoid paying for treatment. Inspectors from the UN's Nuclear Watchdog Agency will investigate the radiation leak at Japan's largest nuclear power plant. A major earthquake last week resulted in a fire and a leak of radioactive water. India selected its first woman president Saturday. 72-year-old Pratibha Patil is expected to work to improve the plight of women in India. And the British Royal Air Force rescued hundreds of people in central England, stranded by the nation's worst flooding in 60 years. Heavy rains continued today, dangerously swelling rivers, including the Thames. And funeral services were held this weekend for Tammy Faye Mesmer, who died of cancer Friday at 65. Tammy Faye helped her husband found a multi-million-dollar TV ministry. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distant guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
At the International Space Station, astronaut Clayton Anderson jettisoned an obsolete camera and a half-ton ammonia tank into space. NASA said it had no choice and most of the debris will burn up as it enters Earth's atmosphere. More than 5,000 delegates from 130 countries are meeting in Australia for the world's largest conference on HIV and AIDS. On the agenda, studies indicating circumcision in heterosexual men may reduce infection by as much as 60%. A new study shows that people who drink more than one diet soda a day have the same risks for heart disease as those downing regular sodas loaded with sugar. Researchers had expected to see a difference and say more study is definitely required. Publishers say the newly released Harry Potter book flew off store shelves, becoming the fastest-selling book in history. Potter's latest adventure in the Deathly Hallows sold more than 8.3 million copies in the U.S. alone in the first 24 hours. United Auto Workers began contract negotiations with Ford and GM today. The troubled U.S. automakers are expected to ask for cuts in wages and benefits. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $74.89 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 160 points at 13,957. The NASDAQ up 3, the S&P up 7. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
No, Agnes, you're hot. Six after the hour. She hates it when I do that. But she is, she is, she so is. All right, Agnes is picking up the phone even as I speak, and she fades the music. She's using, to pick up the phone while she's fading the music, she's using arm number 2 and arm number 3 on her right side because she is a multi-armed goddess. We will have with us on the phone in just a moment Dave von Kleist, who is, publicist Eileen Proctor puts it, one of the blog fathers of the 9/11 movement. Dave and William Lewis are the team who brought you, and I know virtually everyone has seen it within the sound of my voice, 9/11 in Plain Sight, P-L-A-N-E, which basically was the starting point for the series of questions that are growing more and more have more and more impetus behind them as to what exactly happened on September the 11th, 2001. Well, following up on 9/11 in Plain Sight comes 9/11 Ripple Effect, the definitive proof. Among other things, the video, the movie, the documentary purports to say without a shadow of a doubt that there is undeniable evidence of a massive cover-up. I couldn't agree more. I agree that a great deal of what happened on 9/11 has been covered up. If there is one thing you can say with definitive certainty, it is that we do not know what happened on 9/11, and we do know that what happened on 9/11 has been the subject of a great deal of disinformation, misinformation, and just plain old-fashioned outright lying. So with all of that as prelude, welcome now to the program, Dave von Kleist. Dave, thank you for taking time to join us this evening.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I definitely appreciate being here, and more than that, I appreciate you having the courage to have me on, because some of this information is absolutely repugnant to the official story.
You know, the whole thing to me, Dave, is repugnant. The idea that just as someone who has, you know, done some journalism here and there in his life, the very basics of how we tell this story have been largely perverted because the evidence in large part has been done away with. I'm particularly disturbed about the fact of, you know, the question, where the hell did the wreckage go? Where did the debris go? Why is it we can put together entire airliners that are at the bottom of the sea in pieces,
and yet we couldn't hang on to the debris of the World Trade Center long enough to study it and find out exactly what happened.
Well, absolutely, and that's a very good point that a lot of people seem to forget, is we think about what happened with TWA Flight 800, which, of course, blew up and fell into the Long Island, off the coast of Long Island, New York, and they went to great lengths to dredge up and bring up all those pieces and reconstruct the the plane, and we've seen television specials on that, and et cetera, and yet they didn't do this with the plane that supposedly hit the Pentagon, or the plane that that supposedly crashed in Pennsylvania. I mean, this is just insane. And they've taken this information and locked it under, put it under lock and key for 50 years, supposedly because of national security. Whose security?
Well, indeed. Let's start this, Dave, if you don't mind. Everything needs a starting place. And you, with 9/11 in plain sight first, and now with 9/11 ripple effect, are attacking the official story. Let's start by defining what you view the official story to be.
Well, of course, the official story is that 19 terrorists armed with nothing more than box cutters or plastic knives hijacked four aircraft and flew three of them into targets on September 11th. And to this day, there is not one piece of evidence to support that particular contention or charge of conspiracy. Now, by definition, a conspiracy theory is a theory because there's no evidence to support the contention of a conspiracy. So if you apply that to the official story, we can only call the official story a conspiracy theory. Condoleezza Rice on September 24th of 2001 said that they had the evidence linking Osama bin Laden and the Taliban to the attacks on September 11th, and they would release that information, and I quote, in due time. And to this day, the entire world is still waiting for that evidence to be released. And to support that, there was one researcher by the name of Ed Haas with the Muckraker Report, had noticed that if you go to the FBI.gov website and look up Osama bin Laden, you'll find him on the 10 most wanted list,
right,
and you'll see his wanted poster. Now, on the poster, it's very curious. It does tell what he's wanted for, but nowhere is there a mention of the attacks of September 11th.
To this day, he has not
approached the FBI. He spoke to an FBI spokesperson by the name of Rex Toom, and he asked Mr. Toom, why is there no mention of the attacks on September 11th on Osama bin Laden's wanted poster? And Mr. Toom's response was, well, because we have no hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden with the attacks. So when you have no evidence to support the charge of a conspiracy, that makes it a conspiracy theory. So what we have is an official story of 19 hijackers, which is nothing more than a conspiracy theory. Now, you couple that with the subterfuge and propaganda that the mainstream media has been throwing at us for all these years, and I zero in on the so-called Osama confession video. Now, you know which one I'm talking about?
I'm not entirely certain, no. Because you mean the one where he says we brought down the planes? Is this the dinner meeting? The one where he went to the wedding or some such?
Yeah, there was a video that was released to the world in October of 2001, about just a little over a month after the September 11th attacks, and it was a very fuzzy video where supposedly Osama bin Laden was in a room talking with members of Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. Now, in this video, we were told that this was the video where Osama bin Laden claimed responsibility for the attacks on September 11th. And this is what everybody falls back on, and they say, well, we know Osama did it. He admitted he did it. But he didn't admit it because that video is a fraud. And here's why. There's three very good reasons. Number one, when you compare the Osama bin Laden in the video to the Osama bin Laden that we have photographs of, the FBI's got it, the CIA's got it, we've seen pictures of Osama bin Laden, we know he's tall, he's gaunt, he's very thin. But the video has an Osama bin Laden who has a rather round, chubby face and a short nose. The real Osama has a gaunt, thin face and a long nose. That's item number one. Item number two, in the video, while this supposed Osama is talking, he raises his hand and he's waving it around. And when you look at his hand, he's wearing a ring and a wristwatch, which is forbidden by those of the Islamic faith. That's item number two.
Or that particular virulent fundamentalist element of the faith?
Sure. And then the icing on the cake, item number three. In the video, this Osama picks up a pen and he starts to write on a pad. And you can clearly see he's writing with his right hand. We know for a fact that the real Osama bin Laden was left-handed. So the video that they released to the world saying that this was an admission of guilt from Osama bin Laden was a fabricated video. This was made for public consumption, just like in the movie Wag the Dog. It's
sure.
not real. It was false. It was a lie.
Well, Dave, let me back up for just a second, because in mentioning Osama's name, I had always suspected that the reason 9/11's not mentioned on the wanted poster is because the Bush administration never bothered to indict or charge him with the crime, because wanted posters are generally used for people who have been either charged or indicted by federal or state authorities, and he was indicted for the for previous offenses, and that's what's listed on the poster. But with regard to Osama bin Laden, something that came out in the last couple of months, this information, this unredacted stuff that came out, I believe, through the efforts of Judicial Watch, where it says the planes that carried the Saudi royalty out of the U.S. after 9/11, when not a single plane could get off the ground, when the redaction was removed, it says that the plane was chartered either by the Saudi royal family or Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy can call and reserve a 727, wouldn't the federal government at least cancel his credit card?
Well,
I mean, I'm not being flip here.
Of course, but you see, all of this information that we get, remember that almost all the information that we get from either government authorities, you know, federal authorities, or we get from the mainstream media. It's very curious that the USA Today did a poll. You know the poll that they've got every day in the lower left corner of the front page?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a poll a couple years ago, and they asked the question, whom do you trust? At the bottom of the list was the federal government with only 6%. Now, let's turn that number around. If only 6% trust the federal government, that means 94% don't. And further up the list was the media with 24%. And again, we'll turn that number around, and that means that 76% don't trust the media. So, in conclusion, and here's a no-brainer, if 94% don't trust the federal government and 76% don't trust the media, the question has to be asked, where do we get all of our quote-unquote official information? From the federal government and the media. So we have to look at the evidence itself and use our own brains and think for ourselves. As they say, the truth is never easy to find. So how much truth could there be on the spoon-fed information we get from the mainstream media? So this is one of the problems that we have. Now, the other thing is that by focusing in on the terrorists, we are possibly going down a very well-prepared rabbit trail. Now, see, this is one of the things about 9/11 ripple effect that has so many people upset, because it points out the fact that common sense tells us that terrorists could not have been responsible for the attacks on September 11th. So all this discussion about Osama and the Taliban and the planes that were chartered and all that, this is all a prepared rabbit trail that's got everybody chasing their tails. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and I realize this is absolutely repugnant to everything that we've been told, but the reason I'm saying this is because of the fact that we have real experts that have come forward now and have come to their conclusions. Now, the people that you will see in the video, and I have to apologize, I understand that you did not get your copy. I double-checked, and that thing was sent out to you on the 17th. You should have that.
It never made it here, I'm sad to say, because I hate doing conversation. I'm a little bit different from the average interviewer. What we do here, Dave, we call conversation radio, not talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I insist on reading or viewing everything and in this particular instance it didn't go down, and I significantly regret that.
Well, I do, too.
Because, I mean, I saw In Plain Sight, and I was very interested to see where you would go next with this. Let me ask you a couple of other things, if you don't mind. And if you're not in any hurry, neither am I, okay? So,
no, not at all. I have all the time set aside here for your program, as much time as you want.
Okay, great, great. Because that way maybe we can take a run at some different stuff. And I kind of despise linearity. I like for us to go where the wind takes us with this conversation, so I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all. But there are a couple of very important points about this film that need to be brought forward, because I think it'll really challenge the listeners out there to think.
Okay. I wanted to back up the two things. You mentioned that the confession video was made for public consumption, and the thing that occurred to me is, made by who?
I can't answer that question. If I were to try to do so, then I would be dabbling in conspiracy theory, and I'm not about a conspiracy theory. All I can do is look at the video, and you will see the video too, and anybody that gets the video, the 9/11 Ripple Effect DVD, will see the video, and anybody that has the ability to utilize their gray matter that was placed strategically between their ears will be able to figure this out for yourself, that this video, this confession video, is an absolute creation. It is a concoction. It is a lie. Now, who did it? I don't know. But the bottom line here is that the mainstream media and our government put it out there for public consumption for obvious reasons.
Okay, so in saying who made it, you're comfortable saying that the government is part and parcel of its dissemination, as opposed to somebody bringing a videotape from a cave in Pakistan?
Well, it came from someplace, and it was on national television and broadcast all over the world. So we can only put two and two together and hopefully come up with four. So, I mean, you know, I'm certain that if you were to make a video, or if I were to make a video and send it off to the networks, they wouldn't plaster it on worldwide television unless they wanted it on TV. You don't see something on television unless they're doggone sure that they want you to see it.
Well, that's I can't disagree with you with that regard, and I don't. Let me ask you some of the evidence. The luggage that was left on the tarmac and the so-called will of one of the hijackers, is that just planted disinformation, do you think?
Well, again, where do we get that information?
Yeah, who's seen it? Who's touched
it?
Right.
Who told us about luggage on the tarmac? Who told us about a will? Who told us about Let's Roll? Who told us about cell phone calls? Who told us about all the quote-unquote official information? Where did we get all this information?
From the media and or a government press release.
Which we can already determine that the majority of Americans flat out do not trust. And that's why I can't go by this information. We can only go by the evidence, the photographic evidence, and the video footage, and show this to as many officials as possible, people that do have the background, people that are experts. And this is why this video is different, because when it comes to issues as volatile as whether or not there is a pod attached to the belly of that plane that hit the South Tower, or what the flash was that we all saw. Now, as far as I know, I, along with Phil Jahan, are the only people on the planet that have been standing our ground when it comes to this issue about the flash and the pod. And now we have expert testimony. Example, Colonel George Nelson from the United States Air Force, basically looking at this information. I can play you a clip very quick, briefly, of what he had to say. Here's Colonel George Nelson.
You see the other piece of equipment right there in the center line on the starboard side of that fuselage. It can't be anything other than an external piece of equipment.
So that's Colonel George Nelson. He's got 30 years identifying aircraft and aircraft parts for the United States Air Force. We've got Colonel Nelson coming on and saying that that could not have been Flight 175 for that reason. We also spoke with Glenn Stanish, who is a current and active airline pilot for Continental Airlines. And when he discussed this particular issue about whether or not there was something attached to the belly of the plane, here's what he had to say. Oh, I'm sorry, that miscued on that one. I won't even bother with that. The bottom line here is that Colonel Nelson and Glenn Stanish, along with Major Glenn McDonald, who was a 22-year veteran UPI and ABC military correspondent, are all asking this question: what did this pod play? And because if there was something attached to the belly of the plane that we saw hit the South Tower, we were told was Flight 175. If there is something attached to the belly of that plane, it couldn't have been Flight 175. In other words, the planes were switched. Now, it's not me saying this. These are the airline pilots.
I understand.
Airline pilot we spoke with, Russ Wittenberg, who flew United Airlines, and not only did he fly for United Airlines, but he flew those exact planes. He flew Flight 175. He flew Flight 93. These guys are coming on this video here and saying, hey, there's no way terrorists could have done this. Russ Wittenberg explained that, look at these planes, after they'd flown off, they'd taken off and flown about 200 to 300 miles, reportedly had shut off their transponders and cut off all communication with the tower. He says, I don't care how good of an airline pilot you are, how many years experience that you have, if you're flying off 200 to 300 miles and then you turn your plane around and you have no contact with the control tower, no way of knowing which direction you're heading, he said you would be virtually impossible for you even to find New York City, let alone zero in on the North and South Tower and hit them with laser precision. He says, I couldn't do it. He says, I guarantee doggone to you these terrorists couldn't do it. So now we have a whole list of experts, airline pilots, military officials with the experience coming forward and saying those planes could not have been commercial aircraft. They were switched.
So now this takes me back again to a previous issue. One of the things I remember fairly immediately after the event was looking at the passenger manifests for these aircraft, and these were released by the airlines. I don't know what hand the government had in them. I don't want to speculate. There were no Muslim names on these passenger manifests. So you talk about the planes were switched. These are the rabbit holes that we have to go down in these, and they make you feel after a while like you're just, you know, maybe slipping a little bit, or at least that's what I get. You know, what happened to, I mean, a very, very prominent Republican, really hateful, vile woman named Barbara Olson, was on the plane that slammed into the Pentagon. Where if these planes were switched, where are the people?
That's a good question. That's the number one question people ask. They say if the plane that was supposed to hit the Pentagon didn't, if Flight 77 didn't hit the Pentagon, where is it? If the plane that hit the tower, the South Tower, wasn't Flight 175, then where's Flight 175? And again, all we can do on that is speculate. However, let's consider this scenario. Now you're in what city?
I'm in no city. I'm in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia.
Okay, so you're in West Virginia. Okay, let's say
about 3 hours south of Pittsburgh.
Let's say that you're near Huntington, West Virginia.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say that you've got to put your wife or your son or your daughter, somebody that you love, on a bus, and the bus is going to go to Louisville, Kentucky.
All right.
Okay, let's say about 300 miles or something, whatever. So you put them on a Greyhound bus. After buying a Greyhound bus ticket at the Greyhound bus terminal, and off it goes. A couple hours later, we interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin. A Greyhound bus bound from Huntington, West Virginia to Louisville, Kentucky, lost control as it entered the city. It skidded and crashed and exploded, and all were killed. Now, you just lost your daughter or your wife.
Sure.
You're upset.
Quite.
You just, you know, you're going to memorial services. Well, lo and behold, somebody a couple weeks later that just happened to be sightseeing in Louisville, Kentucky, shows up with a video. They happen to hear tires screeching, and they've shot the video around just in time to see this bus skidding through the viewfinder and exploding. And upon review of this video, you see the bus, and this bus says Trailways on the side.
Sure.
Question, where did the Greyhound bus go? I don't know. But if your daughter was on that bus, you'd want an investigation, wouldn't you?
Damn straight.
Well, that's exactly where we are right now. Another question. Should we ridicule and demonize and discredit and attack anybody who dares to ask, where's the Greyhound bus?
No.
Of course not.
No.
Should we further ridicule and demonize the person who shot the video?
No.
No. Should we also ignore the video footage simply because we can't answer where the Greyhound bus went?
Obviously not.
Obviously not. Well, see, this is exactly where we are, because the video footage of that plane that slammed into the South Tower, showing this extra equipment attached to the belly of the plane, coupled with the event we called the flash, that flash. Now, you saw that in the first video, 9/11 in plain sight.
Right.
Okay, now that was captured from four different angles. And again, we have shown this video footage to military experts and airline pilots, and over again, they have come to the same conclusion. It could not have been a reflection of the sun because it was in the shaded side of the building. Number two, it could not have been sparks from the nose of the plane hitting the building for several reasons. Number one, the nose is made of a composite material, and the plane is made of aluminum. Neither of these will create sparks. And furthermore, the flash was seen about 6 to 10 feet to the right of the contact point, so it couldn't be sparks from the contact. It also couldn't be a static discharge spark for the same reason. So the only other possibility is that it was an incendiary device. Now, if it was an incendiary device, this indicates very clearly it is not the result of a simple terrorist hijacking. So, again, the idea of extra equipment attached to the belly of the plane, coupled with the flash, which, by the way, just happens to be directly in line with the object that was attached to the belly of the plane, we have no other conclusion to come to than that the plane that hit the South Tower could not have been Flight 175. Now, the point here, and I want to try to make a point very clear, and that is that there are two groups of people that challenge the official story of 19 hijackers, and I'm sure you've heard of the Lie Hops and the My Hops. Have you heard
sure,
about that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The Lie Hops are the folks that believe that the government, through either ineptitude or incompetence, they let it happen. That means that, yes, these terrorists hijacked these planes, but golly gosh, we dropped our intelligence and we mixed the messages and we couldn't get it together, and they were able to get through and pull this thing off. Now, those are the Lie Hop people. The other group of people believes that there was actually a rogue element within the government that made it happen. In other words, that they actually planned it and pulled this thing off.
At Operation Northwoods.
There you go. Exactly. Very good. All right. So let's consider this. Now, this is what I call it, thinking outside of the cage. This is what we do on our radio show every day, Monday through Friday, 3 hours a day on the Power Hour. Now, if we are dealing with a made-it-happen scenario, then we have to consider the following. That would be that the effort that would go into planning this event would have to be divided into three areas. Number one, they'd have to plan the events themselves, which alone would be a mammoth undertaking, would probably involve a couple hundred people, not thousands, but definitely a couple hundred people. It would also probably take a couple of years and a lot of money. And, of course, when you're dealing with an operation like this, a black budget operation, money is no object.
Right.
The second area of operation, and this is where things get tricky, is you have to have a rabbit trail. You have to have a patsy to blame it on, and you've got to have something, some juicy tidbits, lots of bones for the researchers to find that show Hani Hanjour doing this and Osawi doing that. And they have to be able to find where these guys trained and where their money was and the connection, the financial connections through the Carlyle Group to the Bush administration and all this stuff about the terrorists. And
so something like the Phoenix memo is part of that rabbit trail. Then.
Bingo. There you go. So that would be the second area of operation. Now, the third area of operation is a very diabolical thing because that goes into effect right after the event occurs. And that is, you have to have a controlled opposition, a group of individuals who on the outside give the appearance that they want to get to the real truth about what happened on September 11th. But in fact, their true agenda, their mission, is to keep everybody on the second area of operation. Keep everybody on the rabbit trail. And anybody who strays from the concept of terrorist hijackings is to be summarily dismissed as a loon, a wacko. They're to be attacked and ridiculed. So this is very much going on within the 9/11 truth community. And I must say that aside from myself and Phil Jahan, I don't know of anybody else that's been putting forth this information, considering the notion that these planes were switched and that terrorists could not have done it. Now, I'm sure you've been looking a lot at the 9/11 issue, and we've all looked at the Building 7 issue, correct?
I do, Dave, and the fact of the matter is that I get frustrated, I get angry, I get disgusted. I don't know I'm being manipulated somewhere. But it's driving me crazy trying to figure out who's manipulating me.
Well, this is why I'm trying to pass out BS antennas here. Okay, now just go with me on the second train of thought here, and you'll figure out where I'm going with this. Okay, all right. Now, there are a lot of folks out there that have been looking at the issue of controlled demolitions. Case in point, Building 7.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've looked at that, right?
Sure, yes.
Okay. We've also heard the testimony of Willie Rodriguez, who was the Trade Center maintenance worker in the base of the North Tower, who testified before the 9/11 Commission that the first thing that happened is an explosion below him, and then a few seconds later they heard the thud of the plane hitting up above. You've heard that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and we've also heard all the testimonies of the first responders and the firefighters and the police officers saying that there were explosions going off in and around the base of the tower, both before and after the collapse. We've heard about those explosions. Okay? So let's ask the listeners out there, okay, raise your hand if you believe that the buildings in New York City came down from controlled demolitions. Okay, is your hand up?
Mine isn't.
I'm sorry?
Mine isn't.
Yours is not. You don't believe that they came down from controlled demolitions?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of folks that do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I know. We've had, oh, boy, have we had discussions on this program about this.
Okay.
Me.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's okay. I mean, we can agree to disagree. I personally, you know, after becoming good friends with William Rodriguez and also a couple of the other folks now that have come forward that were in the North Tower explaining about the huge explosion inside the base of the tower before the plane hit up above. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff. And then we've also got on the video, actual videotape of the first responders at a payphone calling home saying, hey, look, I'm okay. Yeah, everything's fine. Hey, listen, you want to talk to your mother? And then all of a sudden you hear this huge explosion go off. So we know that there were explosives going off around the tower, which, again, just the simple fact that we've got these explosions going off is repugnant to a simple hijacking. So we have good reason to challenge the official story. But the point here is that if, and I say if, the buildings were involved with controlled demolitions, then we have to ask the question, what role did the planes play? Because the planes obviously were the cover story as to why the buildings came down, but if the buildings really came down because there were charges in them, then how did the planes fit in there?
Well, and precisely, that takes me back to what you mentioned about the pod, Dave, on the aircraft. Given the size, why would you need a pod? I mean, why not have, big-ass planes, you know? Why wouldn't they do the trick? I mean, we don't know what the pod was, and I understand that speculating where it came from is beyond the scope. But why not just an ordinary jetliner?
Well, according to the experts that we talked about on the video, and I'm really, it's breaking my heart that you didn't see this doggone thing, and I don't understand why you didn't get it, but I will definitely make sure, I'll be in touch with you, and if you don't get it, I will send it, you know, whatever way, courier, FedEx, or whatever, make
passenger
sure you
pigeon.
Get a copy.
Yeah, exactly. It is frustrating, but yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Now, your question was, why would you need the planes, okay?
Why a pod?
Okay, well, first of all, the jet fuel that they use these days is designed not to be explosive, for obvious reasons.
It's kerosene.
They don't want these planes. I mean, if these are very explosive fuels, I mean, we'd have planes blowing up all the time. Okay, they made this stuff so you can't light it. You could have a 55-gallon drum of this stuff and drop a match in, and the only thing the match is going to do is go.
Yeah, well, and we learned that with the dummied up story of the big plan to blow up JFK that the government came out with a couple of months ago. They were going to blow up the fuel storage tanks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right.
They couldn't have done that on a bet or a dare.
Exactly. So the point here is that in order to ensure that there would be an explosion, one would have to have something that is incendiary in nature, something that's going to generate enough heat to be able to ignite that fuel, to create that huge type of an explosion.
This is an ignition source then.
Exactly. And now we take another look at the flash and the pod. And this is why we also spoke to, I'm having a senior moment here, a military guy right here in the state of Missouri. We went onto the Air Force base there, and they explained to us about the phosphorus pods that they have that they attach to planes. And they burn with a white hot heat. And it just so happens that this is the same size of a pod that would be attached to a plane, to an A-10. So the bottom line here is that if, and I'm saying if all the time here, but that's okay, because we have to think outside of the cage. The official story just doesn't make sense, and I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah.
In order to be able to figure out what happened, we have to go down a bunch of different possibilities, or shall I say, theories to figure it out, see if the theories fit with the evidence. So if they were going to have two planes planned to slam into towers on September 11th. The first plane, of course, would be the quote-unquote surprise attack that would get everybody's attention. And the entire world would be focused on New York City, and every camera, every network would be broadcasting this live, not just around the country, but around the world. And then, bingo, now it's showtime. The second plane comes in with a spectacular Hollywood explosion that would justify this war on terror.
And that is, at the end of the day, the raison d'etre for the whole thing, isn't it, Dave?
Well, that's what it boils down to. I mean, we know that there is...
I mean, no, please understand, I'm not being a smartass, okay?
No, I didn't take it that way.
This is the PNAC documents that predate all of this, the mentions of all we need is another Pearl Harbor. It is clear, it is abundantly clear, that these people weren't thinking about a war. They were planning this conflagration.
Absolutely they were.
And
they had to have it.
And they needed their casus belli, and of course it drives the right-wingers crazy when I mention this because it violates Godwin's law or whatever it is. They needed their Reichstag fire.
They absolutely did. And again, the more evidence that we look at this, we examine, we have no other conclusion to come to. Now, I realize that you don't necessarily agree with the issue of controlled demolitions, and that's fine. But what we can agree with is that the official story is so full of holes, and there's not one piece of hard evidence to support it. And yet we have allowed this government to launch its global a war on freedom, a war on terror. Yeah, that's it. We're going to get them. Okay, GW is out there saying that this is a war on freedom. Well, it is a war on freedom. But here's the question, guy. Who passes laws in this country? Is it Osama or Taliban or Al-Qaeda or Saddam? Who takes our laws? Who takes our rights away? It's the very people in Washington, D.C., both Republicans and Democrats, congressmen, the Senate, the president, that wrap themselves in the flag, and then they sign into law draconian legislation that destroys your rights and your constitution.
A Congress that didn't even read the Patriot Act. Absolutely, I'm 100% on this. Dave, you know, you mentioned the LIHOPs and the MIHOPs. We have created. I don't know if we can take creation credit for it, but a third group called the HIHOPs, the Helped It Happens. Somewhere between a total black ops operation of MIHOP and the not benign but utter hopeless neglect that these things were known about and that they were conveniently ignored or a little nudge, a little look the other way. Somebody doesn't bother to read the Phoenix memo. People ignore Sybil Edmonds when she's screaming, Richard Clark running around with his hair on fire and talking about this stuff, and nobody will pay attention. That's the high hop end of things. And so, what concerns me out of this, I think there is a very viable, very valuable place for the work that you're doing and other people in the 9/11 movement are doing, and I'm not dismissing it in the least. I want once and for all the truth out there, because frankly my position is that the thing that damaged the United States in the last 60 years more than anything else was the absence of any truth about the murder of John Kennedy. If we knew definitively Oswald did it, fine, let's say definitively, but not with this chicken crap Warren Commission report.
Right.
I want definitive science. I want definitive examination. I want people under oath in an investigation. You know, after the 9/11 Commission report was designed not to be believable because the people you wanted to hear from and you wanted to be under oath were the very people who weren't. Condoleezza Rice, George Bush, Dick Cheney, anybody and everybody. Yeah, they weren't even allowed to take notes, for God's sakes, when George Bush and Dick Cheney testified together, you know, one sitting on the other's lap.
Yeah, well, you can't even say it was a testify, that they no, were testifying. They weren't under oath.
It wasn't even a coffee klatch, okay? I mean, it just wasn't. So you're absolutely right in that this is the means by which America loses her freedom. This is the means, because there's a philosophy at work here, and you know this is the reason we're on here, you know, 3 hours a night, 5 days a week, trying to sort through so much of this stuff on the horn. You know, you hear George Bush out there, and one of his favorite lines is, "Freedom is a gift from God." Well, see, if freedom is a gift from something that's invisible, then it can be taken away. If freedom is a gift, it can be taken back.
Let me disagree with you on that. I agree, but I also disagree, okay? One of our founding documents says God created man with certain unalienable rights,
mm-hmm.
okay? Whether you believe in God or not, that's not the issue. The issue is as soon as you complete your trip down the birth canal, those rights are yours.
Right, and they
nobody should give them to you. They are God-given rights.
They have not been conveyed upon you by any state, nation, or government.
Bingo. Okay, so you are born with rights. Now, if God created man with those rights, then man creates government to protect those rights.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a chain of command here. All right?
Mm-hmm.
We got God goes to man creates government. Okay, that's why the Constitution was written, to limit the powers of government. Congress shall make no law that blank, fill in the blank. I mean, the Constitution... I believe it levies 114 restrictions of power on the government and only gives 17 powers. I think that's what it works out. It's either 114 and 17 or it's 117 and 14, whatever. But the point here is that man creates government to protect rights. Now, here's where the brainwashing comes in. You ask most Americans, what rights does government give you? And people think about it and say, oh, I got the Bill of Rights. That's the wrong answer. The answer to the question, what rights does government provide you, is zero.
None.
Government gives you no rights. Those rights were given to you by God Almighty if you believe in God. The point is, though, is that if Americans believe that government gives you their rights, then the government can take them away.
Absolutely.
Now, that's where I was agreeing with you, but I want to make sure that we understood that little chain of command there, because God doesn't take away your rights. He gives your rights.
Right. But we've got a president here whose entire administration is built around the idea that they are acting kind of like an old legal principle. They're suing as God's next friend to defeat our rights and to take our rights away. The latest executive order that came out that says that, you know, for the sake of the security of stability in Iraq, George Bush has the power to freeze the assets of anybody that he thinks is working against them.
That's right. I mean,
that could be you.
To go on.
That could be you, Dave.
Absolutely.
That could be me.
It could be you, too.
Exactly. So, you know, I want an honest appraisal and an honest accounting of what happened on September 11th, 2001. I want it because I think it is a vital necessity for the psychological well-being of this country, for want of a better phrase.
Absolutely. We have to have that, and we cannot rely on the government officials or the mainstream media to give it to us, because they've lied to us over and over and over again, and the definition of insanity is doing the same thing expecting different results. So the bottom line here is we have to recognize this war for exactly what it is. This is a war of conquest. It is a war to destroy rights. And it's a war to bleed the American people of their wealth. I mean, a case in point, we all know that there are hundreds and hundreds of government contractors over in Iraq right now. Are they not?
Sure.
Okay, and they all have hundreds, if not thousands, of government contracts, do they not? Okay.
Billions of dollars worth.
Well, here we decided to look at one particular contract that was awarded. It was a no-bid contract, surprise, surprise, that was given to Halliburton. Now, this one particular contract was to transport 82,000 gallons of liquid propane fuel to Baghdad. So the question is, how much would Halliburton charge the U.S. government, i.e. the taxpayer, to transport this fuel? But don't answer yet. It wasn't to transport it from the United States to Baghdad. It was to transport it from Kuwait to Baghdad.
Sure.
Okay, about 300 miles. So I contacted a local propane dealer. I said, first of all, how many trucks would it take to transport 82,000 gallons of liquid propane fuel? And I was told about 10 trucks. I said, okay, if I want to transport these 10 trucks about 300 miles, how much would it cost? And the guy figured, well, you figure $1 a mile per truck, so that'd be about $300 for each truck, of course, minus that's subtracted the cost of the fuel. That
right.
doesn't include the fuel. Times 10 trucks is about $3,000. I said, okay, but what if this is a government contract? He says, oh, you got to double or triple that. I said, okay, would $10,000 do it? He said, that should do it just fine. So the question is, how much did Halliburton charge the U.S. government to transport those trucks that distance?
$10 million?
Try $27.5 million.
See, that's why I'll never succeed in government or private contracting.
Well, this is why I'm saying, you know, somebody say, oh, 100 times that. Okay, fine. That would mean, you know, from $3,000 you go to $300,000. Well, that wouldn't do it. Even $3 million. I mean, this is insane what's going on. Not only that, but if we are at war, common sense tells me that the only people that should be in a war zone are the military, correct?
Absolutely.
Well, isn't it funny right now that we have more than half of the personnel that are over there in Iraq right now are not military, they're private contractors.
Dave, our generals themselves are protected by mercenaries and not their own troops.
That's exactly right. And these mercenaries, these private contractors, dear listeners, do not have to subscribe to any U.S. law or even the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. These people are above the law. That's why they got away with Abu Ghraib and all this other stuff. I mean, this is insane what's going on. We have turned our military into a mercenary force. This is not a war for freedom. This is a war for money and control. If anybody doesn't see that, well, then you're probably still waiting for the Easter Bunny to bring you your eggs.
Yeah.
The bottom line here is that's what the whole goal is. So when we look at the attacks on September 11th, we have to ask the question, who benefited? Certainly not the people of Afghanistan or the people of Iraq, who had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with these attacks and have paid with their lives. Not only that, but the United States government and the British government have been utilizing depleted uranium, which has contaminated the entire region for 4.5 billion years. Now, if we weren't the great Satan before September 11th,
we are now.
We sure as heck could be defined as a great Satan afterwards. They have every reason to hate our guts. And the American sheeple are sitting on their big, fat, pimple-covered, sweaty butts with a remote control in one hand and a beer in the other, waiting for some rerun of Seinfeld or the final episode of American Idol or the football games. No wonder they hate us so much. Let me ask you something. We just had, about 3 weeks ago, the most patriotic holiday this country has. What was the name of it, real quick?
Independence Day.
Very good. You got that answer correct. But most people say 4th of July. Let me ask the listeners, how would you feel if we took the most religious Christian holiday of the year, it happens in the end of December,
and called it 25th of December?
Yeah, what if we stopped calling it Christmas and we started calling it December 25th? How would you folks feel? You wouldn't be too happy about it. Well, then why is it okay to take Independence Day and start calling it July 4th? Maybe the powers that be don't want the people of this country to get the wild-eyed notion that maybe the holiday has something to do with something other than picnics and fireworks. Maybe it's got something to do with reading your Declaration of Independence. And if you read it and applied it to what's happening today, you might recognize the undeniable fact that we are in deeper doo-doo right now than we were before the revolution. You know, I mean, we're in deep stuff right now. And
yeah,
the sad fact is there are some listeners out there listening to this voice and saying, oh, this guy hates his country. This guy, I'm sorry. You're missing the boat. You know, I got to.
Oh, you don't know the Horn audience very well, do you, Dave?
I'm sorry.
You don't know the Horn audience very well, do you?
No, I'm just saying that.
No, I know, I know.
No, just the fact that you would have me on tells me that you and your listeners are thinkers, and I applaud you for doing so. But there's always a group of sheeple out there that are saying, "Oh, come on, you know, if this was true, Wolf Blister would have told me," you know.
Well, you know, there's that scene in the first Men in Black movie, Dave. Uh-huh. Where Tommy Lee Jones explains to the young Will Smith, who's not quite an MIB yet, that we can't tell the people what's going on because they'd be too terrified to live their lives. I think there's an element of truth in that little scene, because if people wake up, if people put down the beer can, the rosé, whatever, the Zima, and they turn off the TV and they start reading and they watch your movie. You know, I'm not demanding people, and I don't think you are either. Just buy into lock, stock, and barrel every blessed word you say. You're begging people to think. You're begging people to make examination. You're begging people to participate in their own democracy,
and in their own republic.
Yes,
absolutely, I am. I mean, what kind of a republic or democracy can we have when the people are too dumb or too lazy to get involved? Don't
Precisely.
We're supposed to have elected officials that are public servants. They're supposed to serve our will. But something went all cattywampus. Something's all bass-ackwards here. Fill in the blank, ladies and gentlemen. The governor lives in a governor's mansion. Okay, how is it that the governor gets to live in a mansion? How is it that these congressmen serve one? Let's count the terms. One. We'll count them again. One term. And they have full retirement, full health benefits, all the bennies in the world, not to mention all the wonderful business contracts that they get to make.
Oh, I know. It amazes me that members of Congress have universal health care, and yet some of those same members of Congress, if you ask them about giving it to the rest of America, oh, it's socialized medicine.
Oh, no kidding. But see, this is why I'm saying everything is backwards here. You know,
everything in the old days,
you know, when somebody was elected, they went off to Washington, and then when they finished their term, they'd go back to home to their home state, and they'd pick up where they left off with their lives, and they were paid a very minimal salary.
Benjamin Franklin,
just enough to get by.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin described leaving the presidency as a promotion.
Bingo.
I'm going from being an employee to an employer.
Well, that's when people were public servants. They loved their country. They wanted to serve their country. They were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Do you think for one second, ladies and gentlemen, that any of your elected officials would pledge their lives? No, but they have no problem pledging your son's life and sending him off to go serve in uniform and jump into a meat grinder.
And come home and have no services if
Bingo.
He survives or
not
she survives.
That. So they'll pledge your life. They certainly won't pledge their fortunes. They're not there to pledge a fortune. They're there to make a fortune.
We have reached a point in this country, Dave, where it's time for the American people to adopt the, there's that old joke about the Indians coming over the rise and the Lone Ranger and Tonto sitting there all by themselves and the Indians that are opposing them all pissed off. And the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and says, "Well, it looks like we're done for, Tonto." And Tonto looks at him and says, what do you mean, we, paleface?
Yeah, there you go.
We are at the what do you mean we paleface point in our country. It is time for Americans to stop letting themselves be manipulated, to stop participating in the fraud, to stop because some of this is willful ignorance, Dave. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, if you become aware of a lie and you do nothing to expose the lie, you become part of the lie. So people would rather not know, because with knowing comes responsibility. So that's why people don't want to watch the news. With the news, it's all politics. It's too scary. I don't want to know. And that's why we're in the trouble.
And
that
even
we're
that
in right
news
now.
That they're not watching is garbage.
Well, that's true.
And they don't want to. There's a lot of stuff going on out there that is energizing, innervating, exciting. That is real news. That is worth participating in. It makes you want to be involved in your country. And that's the last thing we can have. Let me ask you a question with regard to the contents of Ripple Effect, because it's my understanding you are trying to take it, extrapolate further with it. That's why there's a Ripple Effect.
Absolutely. I am trying to indicate to the listeners or the viewers of the film that, well, there are several different ripple effects. I mean, we've already discussed one. Look what has happened to our rights and our freedoms in this country. That's a ripple effect. Look what's happened to our foreign policy around the world. That's a ripple effect. Look what's happened to the economic policy. Look what's happened. I mean, there's so many ripple effects. But another ripple effect is what's happening around the world. The rest of the world is watching this country. I went down to Australia. I was asked to speak at a forum down there. Oh, several, about three, 400 people or something like that meet once a year and discuss the international situation. And I was asked to be their first international speaker in regard to September 11th. And I was very amazed to find out that the people in Australia, when their nightly news comes on, you know, out of a half-hour news broadcast, over a half an hour is dedicated to U.S. news. The world is watching this country right now because they are very well aware that the fate of the entire free world rests in our hands. And unfortunately, most of Americans are just too lazy and, as we pointed out, too apathetic and ignorant to be able to make the right choices. And so they're scared to death that our country, our freedoms, our Constitution is going to go down the hopper, and I'm afraid of that too. But I will tell you that when we look at what we can do, because people say, well, what can we do about it? Give me an action item. Okay? Now, some folks say, okay, we have to mobilize and vote them out. Wait a second. We already know what the condition, the level of integrity of our voting system is. Can you spell Diebold?
Yeah, there's an ongoing fight to get the DREs out of the Holt the Holt bill in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, well, this has been going on for decades. You may recall Jim Collier. He wrote the vote scam book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jim Collier and his brother Ken Collier, they've been reporting about the voting fraud for the past 20 odd years. I mean, this is no new news to a lot of us. But the bottom line here is that we now know that we can't vote them out. Okay, well, let's say I've got this information. I want to go to the police. I'll tell the police. Surely they'll draw up a warrant for the arrest of these monsters. Yeah, right. And even if you can get them arrested, will they be convicted? Well, let's look what happened to Scooter Libby. Okay, so obviously we can't get justice. Oh, okay, well, if I can't vote them out and I can't have them arrested, well, then we'll take it to the court of public opinion. We'll expose them on the media.
No, you won't.
Right.
That's...
You got to get through Shill O'Reilly and Sean Insanity and Wolf Blister and Rush, you know, Bimbo and all the other mainstream gatekeepers of information. So if you can't vote them out, you can't have them exposed to the court of public opinion, you can't have them arrested, let me ask you, what other choices do you have? And that's why I refer to our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson wrote, when a long train of abuses and usurpations, let's stop right there. Wouldn't you say the Constitution is being abused and our laws are being usurped? Would you agree?
I'm with you 100%.
That's right. It pursues invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. Oh, wait a second. Reducing the people under absolute despotism? That means a tyrant, a dictator. Are we absolutely moving towards a dictatorship?
We certainly are.
Well, don't forget what George Bush said.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
And he just signed an executive order we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line here is that, are we moving in that direction? Was Thomas Jefferson right when he says if it evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism? And here's the action item. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just your right. It is your responsibility. It is your duty to your unborn grandchildren to do what? To throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Not ask them to leave. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Senator, Mr. Congressman, do you think you could give us our rights back, please? Do you think that's going to do it? Would you give us back all those millions and millions of dollars you took from us through taxes? Would you give them back to us, please? I don't think that's going to happen. And Thomas Jefferson said to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood here. I am not advocating that we throw out the Constitution, we overthrow the government. That would result in anarchy, and I'm not an anarchist. I support the Constitution. That's the rule book. I want my Constitution back. I want restoration. Okay, the point here is that, well, it was very clearly spelled out from what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, we seek not to overthrow the Constitution, but we seek to overthrow those who would pervert it. That's where we're at right now. But it ain't going to happen as long as Ma and Pa sheeple are more concerned with the coming baseball playoffs.
Or Paris Hilton.
Or Paris Hilton. You know, it's sad, but you know, the only way you're going to get a lot of these Americans off of their butts and on their feet is to cancel a beer delivery in a football game.
Well, the fact of the matter is, there is some effort toward what you're talking about taking place via the Internet, Dave. The films like yours, efforts like you make, what we do here at the Horn 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is an effort to get people to turn away, to stop bleating like sheep, and stand on their own hind legs without the help of a wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
It raises the issue of the absolute desperate importance of maintaining things like net neutrality, of making sure that the sound exchange can't shut down internet broadcast operations. There are a variety of assaults on our freedom taking place right now as we speak. And if we let go, we're on the back of the tiger. And if we let go of one ear, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I sincerely appreciate what you've done. I hope that people will view 9/11 ripple effect. I'm anxious to see it for myself. I want people thinking. I want people understanding that these are exercises in patriotism. These are exercises in being what we under the Constitution must be, and that is citizen sovereigns. You know, we're dealing with employees in government. When I hear our elected leaders, I want to vomit, okay? They're not our elected leaders. They are our elected representatives. And as such, we have the right to tell them where we want them to go. But let me ask you one last thing, and that is this. With laying out the ripple effect, do you think, was 9/11 an isolated event meant to cause all of this, or do we have another one coming?
Well...
And I realize I'm asking you to speculate, but you've put all this information together, and I know you spent a lot of time working it through in your own mind.
Well, obviously, as they say, nothing. When it comes to the world of politics and world events, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, it was planned. So again, we have to always ask the question: who benefits? Who benefited from the attacks on September 11th? And again, we already went through that. We look at. I mean, mm-hmm. It is so obvious who benefited and who's paying for it. And now we look at what's going on. The House of Cards is coming down. The entire world now, overwhelmingly, is challenging the official story. I mean, over half of the people in Europe now believe that this was an inside job. And if you ask the people of New York City, almost three-quarters know that the government story is a lie. So overwhelmingly, people are now thinking outside of the prepared cage, and they're recognizing that what we're talking about is more of a likelihood than a conspiracy theory. And they're recognizing that the official story itself is a conspiracy theory that's been utilized to legitimize two wars a half a world away, the destruction of our rights, and the murder of nearly three-quarters of a million innocent men, women, and children, with more to come. However, when you look at what's coming, yeah, they do need another big event. And one of the researchers out there has been circulating what his speculations are, and I'm inclined to believe with him. He writes here that the next false flag outrage, and they need one soon. They need one really soon because too many people are waking up. They need to shut down the Internet. And here's what they're writing. They're saying that the next false flag operation is going to have to be bigger than 9/11 to justify the suspension of our Constitution. Also, it needs, like 9/11, to be a multifaceted attack, but even more so. A single event, even if huge, may still risk considerable domestic resistance to suspension of the Constitution. So it will probably be something like a nuclear, a dirty nuclear blast, plus an add-on, maybe some sort of a biological that will you know, have the gift that keeps on giving. It'll feature major loss of life, hundreds, maybe thousands. They're of course going to have to finger Al Qaeda or Iran or North Korea or the Chinese or the Saudi Arabians or the Canadians or the Mexicans or the Cubans or the Europeans. They're going to have to finger somebody.
My money says Iran.
Yeah.
Gets fingered, not does it, gets fingered.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, they're going to have to probably have something that is really nasty, a gift that keeps on giving, some biological thing like anthrax or maybe even Ebola. That would be really horrible. But the bottom line is that they'd have to keep people around the country and the rest of the world glued to their TV set so they could continue the 24/7, 365 feeding of propaganda. At the same time, I think they'd have to shut down the net for a while.
Oh, so, I think that's
martial law.
We have reason to believe that some of that is being prepared for, Dave. Our IT professional has identified weird little hits to a bizarre little port that shouldn't be happening, and it's all coming from DOD.
Yeah,
these little packet attacks. They're possible to stop, but the stuff is in place to shut down the internet because that is the one place that information freely exchanges. If we are all limited to newspapers and televisions and radios, well, then for all intents and purposes, our freedom of expression and our freedom of exchange of expression is over.
Well, I'll tell you what, before they do shut down the internet or the phone systems, let me get out some contact information again so people know how to get the video.
Do please.
Okay, so first of all, if you'd like to call during business hours, you can call 877-817-9829. Again, that's 877-817-9829, or you can visit 911RippleEffect.com. But by all means, when you get the video, we encourage people to show it to as many people as possible. Make some copies and give them away. We've got to stop these monsters. And again, like I said at the very outset, if I'm crazy, then somebody's got to stop me. But if I'm not crazy, it's up to every single one of you to do everything you can to stop them. Because your unborn great-grandchildren will either applaud your activism or they will curse your complacency.
Yes, absolutely. And that's not a risk I'm willing to take. I know you're not, because you wouldn't be doing this otherwise. How long has this been in the process of production, Dave?
We sat down in earnest to try to put this thing together. I guess it was in March. I mean, we've been working on assembling the clips for a long time and arranging the interviews, but we really jumped in with both feet and started really getting everything going in March. It took about 3.5-4 months to put this thing together.
Wow. So, 9/11 Ripple Effect, and that's RIPPLEEFFECT, right?
Right. RIPP.
Yeah. I think I had it right. RIPPLEEFF.
GMOPP Ragmop, yeah.
God, it's, you know, the fact that you can have a sense of humor in the middle of all this is frankly stunning, but it's gallows humor, isn't it?
Well, it sort of is, you know. But you know what? If you don't laugh once in a while, you know, because, you know, I've been a musician and a comedy person for 30 odd years. I mean, that's what I did for a living. I was a professional MC. I headed up several different bands up in the Northeast. That's what I did. I was never, you know, involved in activism or any of this type of stuff. And which leads me to the following conclusion here. How is it? I mean, I'm living out in the middle of flaming nowhere, Missouri. Now, how is it that somebody like me, without a background in journalism or writing or filmmaking or any of this, how is it somebody like me could put together a video with all of this video footage and all of these photographs and stuff like this, and yet the mainstream media couldn't do it? What's wrong with this?
Well, I think that's fairly obvious, Dave. It's not a matter of couldn't, it was a matter of wouldn't.
Exactly. But seriously, you know, you've got to have a sense of humor, because if you don't, you're going to end up curling up in the fetal position and sucking your thumb, you know? I mean,
I've done that.
Situation we're up against here.
Yeah, it is. It's and the idea of empowering people and reminding them via the Declaration of Independence that they can re-involve themselves, that they can assert their citizen sovereignty, is critical to this process, I believe. I hope there's not another 9/11, but frankly, I wouldn't be surprised in the least if I got up tomorrow morning and found out that there had been. To find out, I think it was Richard Clark who posited the idea that, oh, and he was working in a time frame of about, you know, now, that we would see attacks take place around the country, not as spectacular as 9/11, but a whole bunch more of them and more deadly because of their breadth and scope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live in fear. I refuse to live in fear. I'm not scared of a Muslim 15,000 miles away from me. I'm a lot more afraid of a rogue Justice Department that's 300 miles away from me.
Bingo.
And a rogue president.
Fear is the greatest enemy that you could possibly have. I'm sure you saw the movie V for Vendetta, right?
Yes.
Big time. Well, the character V made a very, very important statement. It echoes the sentiments of our founding fathers when he said the following right here. Here it is.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Absolutely. Fear is control. And as long as you fear anything, then you can easily be misled.
I remember.
That's the whole point. They are ratcheting up the fear factor. They're constantly scaring the snake snot out of Americans from one issue to another. Look at this poor guy, Jim Speakers. The guy that had the supposed TB that was so contagious.
Yeah.
And then they found out that he didn't have it. Okay? Look at all the people that were scared to death about that. I mean, all of these news stories. Oh, we got a yellow alert. Now we got an orange alert, a red alert, and all this stuff, and then nothing happens. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Who are the terrorists? What is the definition of terrorist? A terrorist is one who terrifies. Period. Done deal. So let's look at who the real terrorists are. The terrorists are the people that are pumping your brains full of all this crap every single night on the mainstream network.
Man, if it bleeds, it leads.
Bingo. So, I mean, this is why everything has been turned, bass ackwards in this country. We have to recognize exactly what and who is behind this whole thing. And once you start putting the puzzle pieces together... And I'm sure that if you take it, when you do get the ripple effect video, I do want to talk to you again, even if it's just off the air, because I think that you will agree that we all, every single one of us, myself included, have a lot to learn when it comes to 9/11. None of us have all the answers.
I couldn't agree more. That's the one thing I think that everybody, whether they be conservative, I think there's virtually no one in this country who will say, we know the dead straight skinny on what happened on the morning of September 11th.
And anybody who does, you need to question their motives here. The bottom line here is that we all have the right to change our minds. You know? I mean, this is what growth is. This is how we learn. Okay? I mean, there's an old saying, and I forget who was credited for saying it, but it is, when a man who is honestly mistaken hears the truth, he will either quit being mistaken or he will cease to be honest. And that's the way it is, folks. We all have the right to change our minds. We all have the right to make mistakes and to right our wrongs and to correct our misconceptions. And every one of us goes through a period or a process of learning and having to let go with our preconceived notions of a particular scenario. And of course, this applies to September 11th. I've had to change my mind several different times. I went from a lie hop to a, what was the other one that you called it?
A high hop.
A high hop, uh-huh. I went into the high hop, and then very quickly after seeing the evidence, I jumped into the my hop. So the bottom line here, we all have a process that we go through, and I look forward to the opportunity to learn something else and let go of another preconceived notions, because that means I just made it up another rung on the ladder. And I'm sure it'll happen to you, too. I'm looking forward to, after you've seen this video, and calling me up and saying, you know what, Dave? I'm a MyHop now. <You know? laughs> Let me give out the phone number again.
Yeah, do please, and 911RippleEffect.com, right?
That's correct. 877-817-9829. Again, it's 877-817-9829 or 911RippleEffect.com. RippleEffect.com.
That's great. Dave Von Kleist, thank you very much. Thank you for the effort you've made. Thank you for the work that you continue to do. And I know that as things develop, you will continue to keep an eye on them, and we appreciate it. Let me ask you one other thing. Beyond the 9/11 Ripple Effect website, will that link to everything else that you've done, are doing? You mentioned something about 1 hour a day. There's a radio show or something?
Oh, no. It's 3 hours a day.
Oh, okay.
We're on Monday through Friday from 7 until 10 a.m. Central Time with The Power Hour. And that's www.thepowerhour.com for all the news they hope and pray you never hear.
Okay, great. Well, I have a feeling you've got some new listeners now.
Well, I certainly hope so. And I encourage people, and again, we have open call-in lines all the time. I look for people to disagree with us. It makes for great conversation, and more importantly, it provides us all with an opportunity to learn and to grow. A healthy exchange of ideas, even if diametrically opposed, always results in growth.
There's a reason that little towns in New England, Dave, are still having town meetings, and they're not agreement fests.
Bingo.
And that's what a lot of us are accomplishing on the Internet. Dave Von Kleist, again, thank you very, 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 very much, very sincerely, for all the time you've spent with us this evening, and I'm sure we will talk again.
Oh, please do, and I mean it. I want you to give me a call when you get that video.
I will.
And after you've watched it, give me a ring, because, you know, I'm very upset that you didn't get it. I want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Okay. I will give you that call.
Please do.
All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Dave Von Kleist. Thanks. 911 RippleEffect.com. You can order the film by calling 877-817-9829. The one nice thing about all of this is, I have no answers, and I am up to my neck in questions. And I look forward to watching the film. I wish I had seen it beforehand. It made things. I think I could have done a little bit better job. I do need a break, don't I? A little bit better job. With my inquiries, but there is no doubt whatsoever in my mind that we do not know the truth. We do not know. You know, and that's the problem. It's not so much truth I'm after. I'm after facts. I'm a reality-based guy. And we don't know what the facts are as they pertain to what happened on September 11th. And that's just the truth. There was a lot that I had to... you know me, that I do agree with in what he said. I believe that 9/11 is the setup. Believe, there's that word I hate. I know that 9/11 is the setup to everything that the Project for a New American Century had hoped to accomplish. I know that 9/11 is waved like a bloody shirt every time somebody stands up and says we need to be out of Iraq. I know that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, even if you buy into every last little factoid inside the 9/11 Commission report. I know it had a lot to do with Saudi Arabia. I know it had a lot to do with the mindsets that are created from the time that little Saudi children are little tiny Saudi children, and they begin to be have their minds poisoned with that particularly vile version of Islam, that Wahhabism. I know that religion plays a profound part in most of the death and doom and destruction and misery and hell and damnation that has transpired throughout human history. I follow the moon god. No, I follow the sun god. Die, heretic! This is no different. This is no different. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and got another conversation coming. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can use the phone, 877-443-2366, or you can save us a nickel by dialing 304-658-5453. I've got a series of emails that have run in that I'd like to share with you as well.
You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Look, Mommy. There's snow cloud up in the sky.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Stand by your man.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by your man.
I thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves that he's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
28 past the hour. We're going to be talking, having a conversation in an entirely different light, in an entirely different vein in just a moment. I want to share some news that just came my way with you, if I could, please, before we do move on to a separate topic. I've heard from our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach that John Conyers has said this afternoon that Conyers is saying no on impeachment, that the American people's only recourse is the next election. It's being reported by Bob Furtick over at I believe this is coming through After Downing Street. Yeah, afterdowningstreet.org. Bob Furtick says Cindy Sheehan led 200 to 300 impeachment activists on a march from Arlington Cemetery to the Congressional Office of Representative John Conyers. And Cindy Sheehan said, impeachment is not a fringe movement. It is mandated in our Constitution. Nancy Pelosi had no authority to take it off the table. If Nancy Pelosi doesn't do her job constitutionally, her constitutionally mandated job by midnight, I will announce that I'm going to run against her. Bob Furtick says, I just got a live report from David Swanson, who says Conyers is nowhere to be found, but Sheehan, Reverend Lennox Yearwood, and former CIA presidential briefer Ray McGovern are inside his office at holding a press conference. As of 7:08 p.m. Eastern Time, Cindy Sheehan, Reverend Yearwood, and Ray McGovern had met with Representative Conyers this afternoon to discuss H.R. 333, the impeachment of Dick Cheney. And after emerging from an 80-minute closed-door meeting, Sheehan alerted the press that Conyers told them no on impeachment and that the American people's only recourse is the next election. About an hour later, Sheehan, Yearwood, and McGovern, David Swanson, and about 20 others were arrested in Conyers' office by the Capitol Police. Just let it be what it is. Now, we're going to, like I said, we're changing topics now. I told you Friday about the assault on the cemetery down near Kayford Mountain, down at Kayford Mountain. The Stover Cemetery, and one of the people who has his forebears in that earth there is our good friend from Coal River Mountain Watch, Bo Webb. Bo joins us now. Bo, can you give us an update on the situation about what happened at the cemetery, please?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll just start from the beginning. It's the only way I know to do it.
Yeah, please.
Last Friday, Larry Gibson, who has a cabin up there on the mountain, he saw a bulldozer going through what he said was the center of the cemetery, what he believed was the center of the cemetery. And he called me, and he called a few other folks. And we got up there on Saturday morning, and they had taken their equipment off there, and we went out and we observed, and it does indeed look like they dozed a road right through the center of the cemetery.
Jesus.
We called the coal company, and we wanted to request to get on there to see it. You know, here in West Virginia, on a surface mine site, they surround your cemetery that you own, your family owns. You don't have any access to it. They own the land around it. It's an island sitting out in the middle of a mountaintop removal site. And we have to get permission from the mining companies to get there. And the statute states that it has to be a reasonable amount of notice. We assume that would be 24 hours if we've done it before. And so Saturday we got on the phone with the coal company. They gave us the runaround, you know, call this number, call that number, call this number. We finally got a hold of a guy, and he told us that he would call us right back within 5 minutes. Well, we waited 5 hours and no phone call and no more answers when we called these phone numbers. And it's Catenary Coal, which is owned by Arch Coal Company. So Joe Lovett, who is an attorney with the Appalachian Life Center, he got involved, and he called the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection and reached Randy Huffman, who's the director of mining. And we were told that Mr. Huffman said that they would have an inspector up there first thing this morning, Monday morning, and that we may very well be able to go with them to the cemetery to look at it. So we went back there this morning, and we waited, and we called, and we waited, and we called, and I called the DEP office probably 7-8 times in the course of about 2 hours. And about 11:15, Mr. Huffman finally called me back and told me that it was all taken care of, that they had an inspector that was in that area on Saturday when we were up there, and he went over and he looked at it, and the mining company assured him that they were well within their rights to do what they had done and that they were not infringing on the cemetery grounds at all, and they actually roped off an area to make sure they wouldn't go into that. We're looking at it from about 400 yards away, and it certainly looks like they're in it. We had a plane fly over today. Vivian Stockman took photographs, and I've looked at those aerial photographs now. And by the way, I emailed them to you.
I'm looking at it, and I'm going to provide that photo, if you don't mind, Bo, so folks can see what we're talking about at our website.
Please do. Here's the law. The law says that you cannot mine within 100 feet of a cemetery. Now, so that means if a grave is in the center of what you're looking at in that photograph, then it has to be 100 feet left, 100 feet right, 100 feet in all directions.
Right.
And if you look at that photograph, if all the graves were clustered in the center of that cemetery, it doesn't mean like there's 100 feet left in all different directions. But it's hard to tell judge distance from the air like that, and it's kind of difficult to judge distance even from 400 yards. But it looks to me like that they have to be into the cemetery. Larry Gibson is sure that they have bulldozed over top of graves.
Well, let's talk about the cemetery for just a minute, please, Bo. I haven't been there, so I'm trying to put this together in my own head.
It's the Stover Cemetery.
Okay.
On top of Cape Ford Mountain. That cemetery is a couple hundred years old.
Is it obvious that it's a cemetery?
Well, yeah, they've mined all around it. It's an island.
Okay, so in the photograph I've got, the island that's in the middle of the picture with the devastation and desolation all around it, that's the cemetery.
That's the cemetery. Correct. So, you know, the law clearly states that they cannot infringe upon the cemetery territory within 100 feet. That includes any rock being thrown on there, dust, everything, okay? That would be desecration.
Mm-hmm.
So, we didn't get any satisfaction from the DEP when they told us that. We weren't getting worth the mining company, and we didn't know what was going on, and so we refused to leave. We stayed at the gate, and I think it's a damn shame that you stand at a guard shack trying to find out 400 yards away if your ancestors and my great grandmother is, if her grave is there, if it's gone, and we couldn't get through. We called the Kanawha County Sheriff's Department. They dispatched two state policemen. We told them that we suspected that our cemetery had been vandalized, and we were there, and we couldn't get access to it. State police came, and they assessed the situation, and we told them what was going on. They went up to the gate, and they told us they would go in. They would go up there and look at it. But they told us they didn't think we could look at it, but since there was a suspicion of a crime had been committed, they could investigate it. So they went to the gate. The guards came to the gate and told them, hold on a minute. The guards went in, made a call, came out, and told the state police of West Virginia that you cannot go on there. We cannot open the gate for you. And they cited hazmat. So apparently Arch Coal has now admitted that their mountaintop removal sites are hazardous material locations. So the state police had to go back down the mountain. They had to go to Canton Erie's headquarters at the bottom of the mountain. And we waited and waited. And what took place was the coal company took the two state policemen up the backside where we couldn't see them and showed them the back of that ridge line there and told them everything was okay. The state police came back around to us and brought these forms that we could fill out to request to get on the mine site, and they gave us their attorney's phone number, and you know they're not going to talk to us. So you know, my question is this: if you haven't violated the law, if you haven't desecrated those graves, and if everything's so hunky-dunky like you said, then why are you putting us through all this? Why don't you just show us? There's no one working there. They took all their equipment off once we saw them.
Well, I know why they're doing it.
Well, I know, too. You know, what are they trying to hide? That's the question. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to request from them to go on the mine site. We filed a request for a citizen's inspection with the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection today, this evening, just a little short while ago, and we expect them to act on that on tomorrow morning, and then we are hopeful to get on the mine site accompanied by the DEP tomorrow and look at it ourselves. Now, the one DE person I spoke to today told me that he sent his man up there and they had their historic maps and everything's okay. Well, when I asked him where they got their maps, he didn't know what to say. Meantime, I did contact some other folks who are privy to access to those such things, and there are some documents about the cemetery. They're checking to see if there are maps. We don't know yet.
Who has ownership of the cemetery property itself?
Bob? The Stanley Heritage, Larry Gibson's.
Okay.
And it's just a damn shame. Why is it that we have to ask permission and get a runaround to visit our cemetery? I mean, this goes on all over southern West Virginia. It's not just the Stover Cemetery, Bob. It's everywhere. If you go, when they go in the mountains and they buy all the property around and your cemetery's there, they can't mine within 100 feet of it, but they don't have any access to it. You have to fill out these forms. You have to take miners training and all this stuff that they put you through. Then they escort you there. You can't take a camera most of the time.
So let's say there's a veteran buried in the cemetery, and I'll bet there is at Stover Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go up on Memorial Day and put flowers on the grave.
You better ask a good month or two ahead of time, get ready for the runaround, maybe even 6 months, because if they don't want you to see what they've done up there, they're not going to let you on. And, you know, here's the other part that really gets me. You know, after our ancestors have been crippled and crushed in their minds and died of black lung, they can't even rest in dignity that now they're shoveling them up and dumping over the side of the mountain. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. And it just, I don't know what to say. It's just,
well,
unbelievable that we're in America and this can happen in America.
When I said a few minutes ago, Bo, that I know why this is being done, this is a direct retaliation for Kathy Mattea and Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Well, I believe it. I believe it. I totally believe it. And I'll tell you why. When Larry Gibson was waiting for us, actually it was Friday evening, there was people with him. He was waiting for some of us to come up there after he called some folks. And a truck came by with surface miners. I don't know if they were supervisors. I don't know who they were. And they slowed down and they yelled at him, told you it wouldn't work, and they kept on going. So I believe it was King Cole wielding a heavy hand, just like they did when we tried to get the governor to do something about Marsh Fork Elementary back here in March, and he sent out the state police and kicked everybody's asses. That's what I think it is. I think it's King Cole wielding his heavy hand, and how dare you try to stand up to us and demand anything, you'll get what we give you. I think that's what it is.
Well, this photograph that I'm looking at right now, Bo, is just it's disgusting.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
It is. And I see in the center of the photograph on that little island that's been created some whitish specks.
Yeah.
And I assume that's the cemetery.
Yeah. See, we already found stones up there, gravestones up there that got those before, and they just set them all over in the side in the pile. That's when they were timbering.
God. I think what Robert Kennedy said is true, Bo. West Virginia has finally descended into an utterly lawless place.
Yeah.
We are an outlaw state.
Well, we are, and the government of the state is protecting the criminals, including themselves. And it's outrageous. That's what they are. They are criminals. And they need to be treated like criminals, and we need to talk to them like criminals, because it's only how much are people supposed to take before they're going to rise up and say that's enough? They've put us in a corner, and now it's down to the point that we can't even visit the dead. And it's their retaliation for us trying to stop mountaintop removal and trying to get the laws, federal law, enforced in Valley Fields. That's what it all comes down to.
How many graves are there at Stover Cemetery, Bo?
According to the Cultural Center in Charleston, what they have looked at, and now, again, Larry Gibson has tried to get the Cultural Center, Chippo, to come up there for the last 2 years and go over this, and get all this stuff recorded, and they haven't done it. But apparently they went up there without telling Larry. They went up there at the coal company's request, and they have documented, they say, 6 to 8 graves with markers and 12 to 16 graves, depressions that are possible graves. Then there's all these headstones laying in a pile on the side.
Headstones laying in a pile on the side.
Yeah.
That weren't laying in a pile on the side before all this started.
They weren't laying in a pile, I'd say. They've been laying in that pile for a couple of years.
How old is this? How old is this mountaintop removal operation?
Oh, I would say, what, 12 years? 10, 12 years since Mr. Bush, right about the time he, well, less, 8 years, about the time he got in office.
Oh, I'm a fairly glib, fairly loquacious person, Bo. This leaves me dumbstruck. In any other state in the union, even some of the viler southern states that have really nasty anti-people laws, the desecration of a cemetery 100 feet, Jesus, you wouldn't be able to get within a mile of it.
Exactly.
But our dead mean nothing, absolutely nothing, to Arch Cole, to Massey, to the people who serve at the altar of Holy Prophet. And I don't mean P-H-E-T, I mean P-R-O-F-I-T. I can't imagine, frankly, why a lawsuit's wasn't filed 2-3 years ago for desecration.
Well, it wasn't, and, you know, I don't know either, to be honest about it. There was no documentation, and, you know, the coal company says they didn't do it. It must have happened when they timbered it, or they accused Larry Gibson of doing it for media attention.
No.
Well, we know that.
No. But I mean, they had the gall.
Yes.
To accuse Larry Gibson.
They insinuated that, well, maybe Larry did that. Yeah, they did. And there's your ancestors laying. You know, you don't know where they're laying at. And right. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, Bo. I'm going to forward this photograph on, and I want people to see what we've been talking about. It'll show up on the headonradionetwork.com website.
Well, I'm going to make a request, too. If anyone's listening and they think they have any descendants there, is anyone in West Virginia listening, even if you're not a descendant, I'm asking everyone, come up there tomorrow. We're going to go back to the guard's gate, at the gate, and that's going to be our vigil. And we're going to go there daily until this gets resolved. We want to go see our cemetery. It's as simple as that. And we parked about 6-7 vehicles there today. And we're hoping that the news media will come and take a look. And the big question is, if you haven't done anything wrong, why won't you take us up there and show us? What are you afraid that we're going to see? What do you got to hide? That's the whole thing. And why did you give us your attorney's number? Why won't you talk to us? You know, criminals, experienced criminals, Bob, when they get caught up in something, the first thing they do is call their attorney, and they refuse to talk to anyone.
Sure.
And that's what that's the impression I'm getting.
Well, these companies are criminals, Bo.
Yeah, they are, and they're experienced criminals.
Lord. Well, you know, anyone that wants to come join you, I know, will be more than welcome. Please, 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 Bo, keep us updated on this.
I will.
This resonates... And I'm not trying to play on anybody's sympathies or anything, but I buried my father just a few months ago, and I can't imagine what it would be like.
Exactly.
To know that, I mean, I'm 600 miles away, and if I wasn't, I'd visit his grave every day. I can't imagine what it would be like to know that if I was able to go and visit it, that there was that there would be some entity, a coal company or some such, that would say, no, our need to make money is greater than your need to...
Yeah. I hear you. And, you know, you think we fight wars, you know. I can't say for fact, but I would just about bet that there's at least one war veteran up there. Buried there, at least one, and that's what he fought for, so his bones could be crunched up and shipped off to China or just shoved over a hill and forgotten about. That's not right. I hope that we have some dignity left in this country, some morals where people, citizens, stand up and say, we're not, that's not what we're about. We're not going to have that. And we're going to throw these people out of office that are allowing that and that are actually, I'm not going to call it complacent. It's not complacent. It's aiding and abetting. And a criminal activity is what it is. And it's time we started talking about it, just like exactly what it is, and people need to demand, throw these idiots out of there, put them in jail where they belong, and take our country back.
I'm with you 100%, and I hope maybe we'll get a phone call from you tomorrow evening to let us know what happened.
I will call you and let you know what transpires there tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very kindly.
All right, thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I'm sick at this. I'm just sick. You know, feel it in your guts. What you had for dinner is kind of rolling around like it doesn't want to be there anymore. Sick. Like I said, I'll send this photograph over to one of the news ninjas so that you can see what I'm talking about. What if it was your loved ones? What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? David is calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly comment on, I guess I'll comment on that. I think the days of not being having unintimidating protests are over. The flowers are gone, Bob. You're going to have some fire in your protests now for people to pay attention because they've just been numb that much. And I don't know how you do that, but it's going to take more than signs. And it's going to take more than just shouting and calling phones.
Yeah, well, where this is concerned, what's going on down at Stover Cemetery and throughout the region where the mountaintop removal is, you know, destroying communities, David, the folks from Massey and Arch and the other coal companies are just waiting. They are waiting for the first thing that they can call a violent act, and they will slaughter everybody in sight.
Mm.
I'm not kidding. The Coal River Valley of West Virginia is a powder keg.
Well, I think you got to stand for something eventually, and I don't know how you do that, but if people aren't paying attention, I mean, you just got to keep pushing at it, I guess. And the other thing I wanted to comment on was the 9/11 thing.
Yeah, Dave Von Kleist.
You know, I feel for Dave Von Kleist in some respects, and in some respects, I wish he would understand it from the viewer's perspective. There's over 100... dozens and dozens and dozens of 9/11 DVDs, and they have the same information. And Dave, Dave, if you're listening, you wonder why people don't pay attention. It's because when you have just circumstantial evidence, and we don't have any physical. Remember, they bulldozed everything. They burned it. It's gone.
Yeah, the steel that was
have none. What can I do with that? Nothing.
Yeah, the steel that was the World Trade Center is I don't know, maybe it's a botulism filled soup can from Castleberry's now.
Dave, I feel for you, buddy, but listen, if he's listening now, you can't just have circumstantial in this day and age. You got to have physical. That's where we're at now. Maybe you could have done that 100 years ago. Doesn't work that way. We have to have physical for me to present a case. Or you know what? They put out the tinfoil hats. They put out the tinfoil hat pictures over and over again. They call you tinfoil hat.
Moonbat.
Whatever.
Don't forget Moonbat.
Yeah, Moonbat too. Moonbat. So when you ask, why can't I get on the ball? Why can't I call my representatives? Because I can't work with circumstantial evidence. I can't. My representatives will just say, Well, that was nice. We're going to pass it on to him. And that's all there is. And I hope he understands that. And not to diss him or anything like that, but you just had a 9/11 DVD out, and now you're recycling what you have out now, and you're putting out another one. See, to me, what makes it more, give you more credibility, is if you covered another issue that was investigative. See, if Robert Greenwald just did Walmart stories all the time, Walmart DVDs, I would get suspicious. So you know, there's that. You just keep milking the same issue. Eventually, you're going to have to move on to something else. And I'm sorry, 9/11 Truth Seekers, if you're listening, you're going to have to move to something else because there's only circumstantial evidence. And that's all I wanted to say on that.
Well, It's well said, David. That's
you can't, Bob. Listen, you know it, and I know.
I'm waiting to see this thing, but you know, I know from my own experience that there are anomalies that show up in video, and I'm sorry, I don't find it likely that I'm going to turn into a MyHopper.
I turned into an IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, but that's a different story.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
He'll be here all week. Try the V.
Yeah. No, I feel for Dave, and I understand it, but you're telling me a blur. Look at it from my side, Dave, if he's still listening. Look, you're telling me a plane and a pod, and you don't have any special experts. You just have a blurry photo, man. That's all you got. You got a blurry photo, and you're telling me there's a pod on a plane. Are we from Saturn? That wouldn't be acceptable in court. They'd throw your ass out.
A lot of truth in what you say, and it's part of the problem here.
I know.
I believe in making the inquiry, David.
I know, Bob. That's why you and me, we're critical thinkers. That's why a lot of people are head-on are critical thinkers. You guys wonder why we don't cover 9/11, who are listening, who the 9/11 truth seekers on all these blogs and message boards, because we can't deal with circumstantial. I know you want to get to the truth.
Well, it was pointed out to me, the gentleman that he referenced early in the conversation as having heard those booms, the guy can't even prove that he worked there.
That's what I'm saying. William Rodriguez,
yeah.
Every single time he does an appearance, every single time he puts a photo, every single time he does a photo op, it doesn't look good, people. He looks like he's out there doing PR, doing what he has to do. This is a profession now. This is his career. And when you make something just this, Bob, your career, it looks suspicious after year after year after year. If this is the only issue you're going to have, because we don't have any evidence, man. We have circumstantial. And we keep going back to that. And I don't understand why people like Dave and people who make loose change don't understand that. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to my representative and say, open the files of 9/11? They can't do it because it's under lock and key right now. There's nothing they can do. Why can't people get that? They should have stood up the minute we had that trial, but they didn't. It's too late, people. You're going to have to wait for the next 9/11. And I hope you have the just not circumstantial, I hope you have physical evidence. Otherwise, Bob, we can't do anything.
Well, we can motivate ourselves to know that the one thing it doesn't take physical evidence to know is that we have not been told the whole truth.
That's true.
We do not have all the facts. So, we can motivate ourselves to be on the lookout for what comes next.
But you know, Bob, that thing about the pod thing, that threw me. I had a visual of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy going through the doors, and then they would go out the other door, you know, in a hallway.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I had. I mean, where do you want me to go with this? You want me to trust you? Are you crazy? Do you want me to trust you that there's a pod on a plane just because you have a blurry photo and you think it's a missile? Is that where we're at for physical evidence?
I know. David, I got to roll on. I got one more caller.
No problem, Bob.
Thank you.
Later.
Bye now. Hey, Phil. Thanks for calling, man.
Oh, hi, Bob. I disagree very much with David from Maine. I think that these DVDs and Davon Kleist and Willie Rodriguez are giving their lives to waking people up. 9/11 was the worst crime ever committed on American soil, and we have yet to have a criminal investigation. Here's a piece of evidence, David. What about a military stand down? You know, how do four jumbo jet airliners fly around for an hour? All the people that died in 9/11 and every person that's dying and will die today and tomorrow in the name of 9/11, we have to get the truth. We just have to.
Well, that's where I don't think there can be any reasonable disagreement, Phil, that 9/11 is what led to everything that we are in now.
We have enough 250 questions of the family members' questions were ignored. Over 250 questions, and to say, oh, we don't have enough to prove anything, let's move on. This is insane. These guys are in power. power because of 9/11, and there's enough questions to really wonder. You know, they've got a lot to answer to. Bush, Cheney, the military.
Well, we've got a very short amount of time. Let me ask you a quick question, Phil.
Yes.
Given your choice, what would you rather have? An announcement of a full, incontrovertible 9/11 investigation that might take years, or impeachment proceedings that begin in a matter of weeks or months?
To rule out the, you know, you have to.
You can have one or the, you can have one or the other, but you can't have both. Which do you want?
I think we have to get to the bottom of 9/11, because this is going to transcend the whole future of our country, regardless of who's in office. And if you get the truth to 9/11, you know, you're going to have what you need for Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and the rest of the crew there. To push this aside, I think people, Bob, don't want to do the work, and that's why they don't want to know.
Or maybe they get frustrated running down the rabbit hole, Phil. You got to remember that, because
it simple.
And that's just the one. And that's the one thing the 9/11 Truth Movement hasn't done, is keep it simple.
Because you got a bunch of people trying, Bob, that are not professionals. You got a bunch of patriots, guys like Willie Rodriguez.
Open source investigation. Yeah. Phil, we got a roll. I'm 30 seconds away from the news.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Have a good night.
Yeah. Oh, you too.
Bye now. Bye. Thanks, everybody. We're done. We'll be back tomorrow night. Mike Malloy's not live this evening, so no reason not to hang around for Strictly Confidential if you were inclined to listen elsewhere. Try out our good friend Peter. Now, news is next. This is The Horn. Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. In a San Francisco federal court, injured war veterans filed a class action lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. They say the VA broke the law by denying them treatment and disability benefits when they returned from Iraq and Afghanistan. The suit calls for broad changes at the VA. In Baghdad, a roadside bomb killed a U.S. soldier over the weekend. The Pentagon says 54 American troops have been killed in July. Northeast of Baghdad, coalition forces continue a blockade of a small town where Shiite gunmen are holed up. It's the third day of the standoff, and residents inside say they're running out of food and water. In Afghanistan, four American soldiers died from a roadside bomb blast. Two NATO soldiers died in other violence. Also in Afghanistan, authorities are negotiating for the return of 23 South Koreans and a German hostage abducted last week by the Taliban. The militants demand freedom for the same number of Taliban prisoners and the withdrawal of German and South Korean troops. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair is in Jerusalem for his first visit as envoy to the Middle East. His mission is to revitalize peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians. Top-level meetings begin tomorrow between Iran and the U.S. to discuss the declining security situation in Iraq. It'll be only the second such diplomatic summit between the two countries in nearly 30 years. Inspectors from the UN's Nuclear Watchdog Agency will investigate the radiation leak at Japan's largest nuclear power plant. A major earthquake last week resulted in a fire and a leak of radioactive water. Re-elected yesterday, Turkey's prime minister vowed to battle Kurd separatists and continue to lobby for acceptance into the EU. During the campaign, the Muslim-based ruling party vowed to make